about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And we're back.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What do you mean, you psycho? I waited for you. What are you talking about? You're so mean. I hate you. You're so mean. You're so mean. What are you talking about? I love you. The is wrong with you. I hate you.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
What number Chick-fil-A grand opening this is for you?
This is number 68.
Would you be willing, if it came down to it, to give me your wristband?
It can't be done.
And now,
on behalf of the Mother Standards Department, I, Gaylord Felcher, present you with the Employee of the Week Award. Well, let's give it up for this bag of
our feature presentation.
By the way, not just week, I'd say a couple months.
Yeah.
Easy.
Employee of all time. Hey, how's that rain?
Oh, great. Love it.
Big time today, right?
Everybody, it's not big time yet, but it's supposed to rain a lot today, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
Well, I've been seeing, I've been watching the news the last hour or so, and it just looks like there are places where it's just coming down like crazy. And what was the deal? You probably, I don't know if you even saw this or not, but what was the deal with the super high-speed chase with the guy with the Jaguar on the 110 to the 101, and then they had to close it down, and he threw a gun out of the car, and it was going 100 miles an hour? What was that deal?
Oh, I didn't see that.
A lot of excitement for this early in the morning. I'll tell you that.
A lot of road closures, a lot of spin-outs.
Yeah, good times.
And people are not heeding our advice, which is when it's rainy and the roads are wet, you should speed up. That way you spend less time on the road.
Yeah, that's so obvious to us. Thank God Lisa May, Debbie Downer, isn't here to try to throw cold water on that plan, because that works, man. You go as fast as you can. That way you spend less time out on the rainy roads and you get the hell out of everybody else's way.
Right, so that makes perfect sense to us. So
oh, my God, it's raining. What do I do? It's raining. I don't know how to drive in this kind of weather. What do I do?
Step on it.
Oh, my God, it's raining.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. Got a lot of programs still to come today, but I want to start with this story that I love so much. This takes us to Arapahoe, I believe is how you pronounce it, county in Colorado. The former sheriff up there, Pat Sullivan is his name, is in jail right now. He lost his job and he went to prison for felony drug possession and soliciting prostitutes.
Okay.
So ordinarily, I mean, let's face it, we see stories like this all the time where the guy wearing the badge is the guy who ends up getting in trouble for whatever reason. The reason he's in the news is because he has been sentenced to and is serving out his time in the Patrick J. Sullivan Detention Center, which was named in his honor.
Oh, nice.
So the jail that he is in was named after him as the sheriff of the county who had made his reputation and was a longstanding sheriff for cracking down on drug use. That was his issue, was cracking down on drugs, making the community safe against those evil drug users. And then, of course, he goes to jail for trading meth for sex.
That's
so
sweet.
So he was
trading the meth away, Bean. He wasn't using it.
Well, yes.
Right?
I guess technically that's true, too, yes. But so they quickly, the county commissioners there quickly had a meeting and said, hey, maybe we take Sheriff Sullivan's name off of the jail that he is now staying in. And they renamed it. They took it back to its original name, the Arapahoe County Detention Center. And they're also going even further now to say, we're not going to name any more buildings in the county after people who are still alive.
Wow.
Because from now, because of incidents like this, it's kind of embarrassing. So now they're going to, name it after, streets or things like that.
It's more sense if he's in it to name it after him.
I mean,
right? They should name it after the worst prisoner.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Every time. That's his jail.
I just love that he's in jail that's named after him.
I wonder what all the people, who most of whom he probably put there.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Are saying to him while he's in jail.
Yeah, this case apparently, I had not heard about it until this twist, but this case apparently was going on for a long time, and they had all sorts of guys on tape saying, oh yeah, the sheriff, I had sex with him all the time when he was working,
Wow.
So, good times.
I need to be a sheriff, the perks.
Apparently so. All the meth and all the homosexual sex you want, dude.
Wow, that's fantastic. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is not my kind of comedy.
You don't know that yet. You will know that, but you don't know that yet. Comedian Jim Gaffigan will be on the program today. I don't think
he's funny.
Have we had him on? Much,
I don't
ever?
Know. We may have, but it's certainly been a while if we have. I don't recall.
Bean and I have bad memories, so when we talk to him, we'll go, "Hey, good to talk to you," hoping that he'll give us a clue if he's been on before. We also have a countdown to Samageddon. Very excited about that. A
lot of response from the kids on the Armenian Comedians Return Monday. I'll tell you that.
They love it, right?
I love it.
Love.
The only thing I'll say is it is giving Beer Mug a little bit of a break in terms of the abuse that he gets from the listeners. Hard to believe people actually prefer Beer Mug to anyone, but they seem to prefer him to the Armenian Comedian. But I think that's just because Sam's been away for 2 years and they forget how magic he is.
Forget the magic. That's right.
In their mind, they only remember the bad. They don't remember the good.
Don't forget the magic, people.
Right.
Brand new internet roundup today.
It's a good one.
Very excited about that. Let's see. You found out that your boyfriend or girlfriend was married. Sometimes a long-term boyfriend or girlfriend. You've been with them, you know, 3-4 years, and then you find out that they're married.
It does seem like there should be some clues in that much time. Like, I don't know, holidays come and go, and they don't have your full attention.
But should we narrow this down to people? Because if they're split up but married, then those signs aren't there necessarily.
Right. But, I think we're looking for people who are living with their husband or wife.
Yes.
Yet somehow still dating you and you don't know they're married.
And if it happens to you twice, that's on you.
Well, we are talking to a Kevin and Bean listener named Jessica who has had this thing happen to her twice, including very recently she found out her boyfriend of 8 years had, as I understand it, and we'll get the details, had met and married someone else 2 years ago. How about that?
So he'd already been dating her for 6 years? He didn't lie from the beginning.
Yes, he was. That's right. And then he just got another girlfriend on the side, and they ended up falling in love with her, presumably, and marrying her, but keeping Jessica on the side and in the dark.
Well, you know, some people need more than one, right? Who's with me?
I guess.
Also on today's show, we have your tickets, your 3-day passes for Coachella, which, of course, is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the following weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we have live in-studio music from Jack Johnson. Seems like a long time since Jack Johnson's been here.
Long time.
So that's coming up as well on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some commercials, Beer Mug?
No.
What do you think about that?
No, I don't think that's... Okay, now you're good.
Can we take back what we said about Beer Mug and Sam?
And this is the right place to be if you want to go to Coachella this weekend. We got tickets for you at 9 o'clock this morning and then throughout the day here on K-Rock at noon, 3, 6, and 9 o'clock at night. We're talking about sold out 3-day passes to Coachella and access to the K-Rock Coachella House. You can get those details at krock.com. And by the way, speaking of shows, Lollapalooza lineup came out in the middle of the night.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's up at krock.com as well. You get a chance to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in concert, Kevin, at Lollapalooza.
And...
Black Keys.
Sweet.
Yeah. Jack White. Yeah. Bunch of bands. Good lineup. Anyway, fantastic. You can get all that information for you at krock.com. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. Hey, Ralph.
They said it would never happen. Now it's happened. Betty White's on Twitter, Kevin. If you want to tweet Betty White, you get a hold of her.
God, I'm so tired of her.
Why can't you love Betty like the rest of America?
Because, she's got a hook. She's kind of funny, but she's really old. Got it. But then you're watching sports and stuff on certain... What's the channel that her new TV show is?
NBC, I
believe. NBC. So anything you're watching on NBC, little Betty White pops up in the corner, and then they advertise her stupid little show.
Well, they do that with all the shows.
Yeah,
that's
but
how they
that one's
them.
So freaking annoying.
Why?
But
just
why do you hate Betty
old,
so much?
You have to hate her.
Betty blows.
She doesn't have anything to do with them putting her face on the screen to promote a show during a sporting event. You know that she's not doing that, right? She's
all
just doing a television
people.
Show.
She's
no, I think
the
she's in the control room, Bean. I believe that. Puts herself in there.
She's still sharp and funny, and she seems current.
Yeah, but it feels gimmicky to me. It doesn't to you?
Well, she's had a career for 60 years, 70 years.
Right.
What was her gimmick when she was 20 and she was successful and talented? What was her problem then?
I wasn't angry then. Just now.
It's not like they gave her a show because she's 90. She's been working in the industry for 70 years.
They did give her a show because she's 90. That is why they did it.
No, they gave her a show because she's wildly successful. She's got Hot in Cleveland.
That's why Hot in Cleveland, how's that doing?
Well, they just renewed
it. Very well. Yeah.
Sorry, remember, to pull your argument out from under you.
I'm going
to
do some research
ratings are high.
And get back to you.
Now, did it bother you when she was a huge television star in the 70s with the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
No, I don't care. I didn't care.
Or the Golden Girls?
Did it bother you in the 80s when she was a huge television star for most of that decade with the Golden Girls?
No.
Well, why does it bother you now, then?
Because
what do you want her to do about being old besides die? What else can
she
do?
That's what he wants.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
He wants her just to go away because she unfortunately got old as if she had a choice in the matter.
No, right. I feel like this is one of those things where she's the you know, the taste of the moment, and everybody's all excited because she's old and she still tells jokes.
She's been the taste of the moment since 1940.
No, she hasn't.
What is taste of the moment, by the way, too, while we're talking about it?
I'm not sure.
Let's move on.
I don't get it.
Move on.
Anyway, Betty's on Twitter. You can tweet her at Betty M. White. Her first tweet read, "Hello, Twitter." And they said it would never happen. Oh, wait, that was me. So,
see? With that kind of comedy.
She is, of course, using Twitter to plug her new show, Betty White's Off Their Rockers. Oh, this sounds like the...
That's another
this is the show,
new show
that Kevin would have to watch in hell. The premise of the show is senior citizens punk younger people.
Nope.
Because a lot of younger people, Kevin, like you, have ill-conceived, stereotypical ideas about older people.
Right.
So these older actors play against those, and they punk younger people.
Sure. So they'll challenge them to a game of basketball, and the guys will think, oh, we can beat them because they're old, and Betty White will score 50. Get out of them. Shut up. It's a horrible idea.
I don't believe that's one of the punks, but
whatever.
Like they'll have two people in like those little rascal chairs, you know, coming down the street, two older people, and there'd be some young people standing outside a restaurant or whatever, and then they'll just pick up speed and pick up speed and pick up speed, and they'll just slam into each other. Everybody
Do
freaks
they die?
Out. And gets, no, they don't die, oh. Kevin.
Hey, Beer Mug, how long are we going to have this conversation before you bring up the "Why Does Kevin Hate" jingle?
Bean, I could answer that.
Forever.
Yes. Muggs was in the back just enjoying the show.
He was totally checked out today.
Leaning against the wall, enjoying the show. He was very happy.
He won't give Kevin commercials. He won't bring up obvious drops.
15 minutes ago, he didn't have any commercials lined up.
He is a member of the audience now more than he is a participant. He really enjoys the show from a distance, which is fine.
I don't even think he's listening.
Doesn't matter. We're moving. Why does Kevin hate timing? Why does Kevin hate timing? Tila Tequila says she's got a new lease on life.
I don't like her either. How about that?
That's fine.
All right.
After suffering a severe drug overdose, she tells Us Weekly magazine she should have died after taking too much medication.
I agree.
And we all say, yes, you should have. But now she feels reborn.
Great.
She said it was really tough to detox and rehab, but surviving the experience has given her a desire to help others. She's considering going back to school and studying psychiatry, she says.
Oh, come on.
She wants to be a psychiatrist.
There's never been more of a look-at-me person than her in
And a
history.
Bigger liar, too. Yeah. She just lies about everything. Just, I'm married to a lesbian. We're having a child together. Oh, I had a hemorrhage. I'm dead. I'm alive.
That's such a big liar.
If you walk into a psychiatry office and Tila Tequila is your doctor.
Yeah, you turn around and walk right back out.
No, I say you keep running into that office and just plunge yourself out whatever the nearest window is in that office. Just keep going because you're
just
done.
End it.
And this strikes me as odd and a little sad. Us Weekly magazine was talking to Anne Hathaway. You're familiar with Anne Hathaway, of course. She's been seen in Dark Knight Rises. She's
Is she okay, Kevin?
Sure.
Okay.
However, Ken doesn't think she's attractive.
I think she's attractive. I don't think she's the end-all be-all. Not the taste of the moment.
She was ordered for her role as Fantine in Les Miserables. She's doing the movie version of that Broadway musical. To lose almost 20 pounds for her role.
They told her that?
Yes. Have you ever seen Anne Hathaway?
Yeah, she's tiny.
Where's she going to lose it? She can barely stand on her own two feet. She seems like she's malnourished as it is.
She's frail.
They want her to lose 16 pounds before they start shooting.
They want to kill her?
That's insane.
Replace her with someone else?
I don't know. Has she been cast as a broom? What is her role? I was shocked. She said they asked her to lose 16 pounds.
Wow.
And now she's currently eating 500 calories a day in order to get the pounds off.
Wow.
Look, What? This is for Les Mis?
Yeah.
The movie? That, yes. I don't get that. Unless, I mean, is she supposed to play somebody who's really just emaciated from starvation?
I believe, most of the people were back in France around the time of the Revolution.
But she already did.
But
look
she's way thin. I think for movie reasons, you could certainly play off that she is a street urchin or whatever, and
you could
make that work for God's sakes.
Hmm.
But to have her lose almost 20 pounds, so on top of her tiny, tiny frame, she should ask Beer Mug about weight loss techniques.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
He could knock that off her. What she needs 16 pounds, he could do it in I think a day and a half, according to Beer Mug math. You can lose 16 pounds in a day and a half. That's what he's counting on in order to win his bet.
That's according to his math.
Yes.
But he is also fat, so
yeah.
You got that.
It's that blue-eyed math, man. It's just
that's what it is.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dylan Keefe of Marcy Playground is 42 years old today. Can we get a little sex and candy on today? I'm making a request. Can I do a shout-out?
I'd like to make a request that you drop that from the birthdays.
I would like to hear a little sex and candy.
Mugs will have that to you within 4 hours, Ralph.
Jennifer Esposito, lovely and talented actress, currently can be seen on Blue Bloods on CBS. Yeah, she's attractive. 39 years old. She started. Where did I first encounter her? I guess it was Spin City the first time I sort of fell in love with her. She's real good. Trisha Helfer, speaking of Bells.
Yeah.
She, of course, was Caprica 6 from Battlestar Galactica, 38 years old today. Chris Gaylor of All American Rejects is 33. Model Alessandria Ambrosio is 31 years old. And singer Joss Stone celebrates her 25th birthday. It is a cornucopia of hotties celebrating their birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Got a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup for you today. Also, our countdown to Samageddon, which is going to be happening on Monday. The Armenian comedian's return here on the Kevin and Bean Show after 2 years of a restraining order. And comedian Jim Gaffigan, too. It's all coming up in the next couple of minutes or so here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Tell me about Ozzie Guillen. I'm not a baseball fan. I still thought they were called the Florida Marlins.
Well, they did. They just changed it this year.
Okay.
He is the new coach for new manager for the now what is known as the Miami Marlins. They have one of the worst logos in baseball. He's a character. I mean, he took the White Sox all the way to the World Series, won the World Series back in 2005. He's always done dumb things. Like he refused. Here's an example of Ozzie Guillen. At the time when they won the White Sox, he refused to go with the team to the White House because President Obama is a Cubs fan. That's the type of thing he does. He's a White Sox fan, so he says, no, I'm not going to go.
Well, I understand if you're from Chicago, you've got to be one or the other. It's
right. But if you're the manager of the team that wins the World Series, you go to the White House, right?
Yeah,
you just, that's just tradition.
And
that's
maybe awesome. You make a little stab at the Cubs.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you have some fun with it. But anyway, but he's in a world of trouble. I think you have a news report to show what he – and this is his first week. It's a brand new season with his brand new team, and he already has hundreds of people outside the stadium trying to get a boycott going of the team that he's in charge of. So that's not the way you want to start a new job, right?
Miami Marlins manager Ozzie Guillen suspended for 5 games after his comments about Fidel Castro. Guillen, who is from Venezuela, told Time magazine he, quote, loves and respects the former Cuban leader for staying in power so long. This comes as the Marlins are just settling into their new stadium in Miami's Little Havana area, where many Cuban exiles live. The team issuing a statement saying, quote, the Marlins acknowledge the seriousness of the comments attributed to Guillen. The pain and suffering caused by Fidel Castro cannot be minimized. Guillen holding a news conference to explain his remarks.
It was misinterpreted by us. What I mean in Spanish, when he asked me in Spanish, I want to say something I was taking in Spanish. And the thing I say, I cannot believe somebody hurt so many people over the years is still alive.
So that's his story now, is that he can't believe somebody who is so cruel is still alive. However, the words love and respect.
Yeah, I don't know where they came from.
Came out of his quote. They came out of his quote that, because the reporter said, he said, quote,
yeah,
loves and respects.
And Miami is not the city where you
no.
go pro Castro. So
no.
We asked producer Dave if there's any way we could talk to Mr. Guillen. And believe it or not, Ozzie's on the phone with us right now. Ozzie Guillen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Thank you for having me.
No problem. How's the season going for you?
Not so far, so good.
Now, you have been...
It's only a week, and already we got big problems.
Yeah. You have been suspended for 5 games already as a result of these remarks, and yes. The worst part is that there are already people who are calling for you to be fired.
Yeah, some people don't want me to manage the Marlins anymore because I say the stupid things, and I cannot make mistakes. You know, with my mouth.
Okay, so but was it was a mistake when you said you loved and respect?
Well, I was thinking in Spanish, and I said it wrong in English, I think.
Uh-huh.
I didn't mean to say I love Fidel Castro.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, he's done so many bad things, and so many people want to kill him, and he still stays in power.
Right.
So that is surprising to me, and that's what I'm thinking in Spanish, but in English I said, I love Fidel Castro.
But
which is an odd translation
there. That's all.
There's no translation problem. That's literally the opposite.
No, I think he's a bad person.
Okay.
He's done horrible things to the people of Cuba.
But you love him.
But I said, I love Fidel Castro. In my head, it didn't sound like that.
I see.
So I'm not making excuses.
I see.
And I'll do whatever it takes to make it right in the community, the Cubana community in Miami. But it's a problem sometimes thinking in one way and speaking other language.
Well, you don't have to tell me.
Yeah, I'm sure you know.
I do it in one language.
So you spent a great deal of time at that press conference yesterday just basically getting beaten up and apologizing over and over and over again. You're going to take your suspension like a man, and hopefully you're going to put this behind you and have a good season.
I feel horrible. I've been losing sleep for what is been going on, and I just want to apologize and say I love AIDS.
Well, you certainly didn't mean to say that, Mr. Guillen.
I love AIDS.
No, you don't love AIDS. What does Nobody that loves mean? AIDS. Why AIDS is
I'm
a
sorry,
terrible
in my
disease.
Head, I was thinking it's a horrible disease, and I wish they would eradicate it,
right.
And I hope they find a cure soon.
But then why
did... Accidentally, it came out, I love AIDS.
Well, does that happen?
I don't know. I got to take a good, long, hard look at myself to know why that happens. Hey, yeah. I love Coney.
Oh, what?
No, he's the Nobody guy who's killing Coney. All the kids
this
and everything.
This guy had a movie made about him. I gotta respect the fact that he has a movie about him.
No, they had a movie. They made a movie about him because he's a wanted terrorist that we're trying to find and kill.
I'm voting Coney 2012. I got a bumper sticker on my car.
No, that's not what that means. Coney 2012 is not. It's not an election sticker. Come on.
In my
Gossie?
Head, I'm thinking he's a horrible person for what he does to children, and yet it comes out, I love Coney.
Okay, maybe you should stop in English with the word love.
I love poop.
Well, that's all right, I guess.
You try so hard to get it out of you all the time, but it keeps coming back. They keep making more. He's incredibly resilient. I love poop.
Okay.
I love Chelsea Handler.
No, you don't.
I know you don't mean that.
In my head, I think I'm saying, Shmuel, that is the least funny woman on the planet.
Right.
But it came out, I love Chelsea Handler.
Well, yeah. Yeah, maybe you need to...
I love Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, stop saying love.
He can read cue cards like nobody's business. And so many people want to kill him, and yet he's still in power.
Right. Right. But you don't mean you love him.
No, it just came out that way.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You need to just maybe get a spokesperson. Maybe that's what he's. Maybe the assistant manager needs to be doing more interviews. You think about that, maybe.
I love killing puppies.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Ozzy. Again, really?
I probably like that song half as much without the cowbell.
The cowbell does add a little something, sure.
It really does. It's a world famous K-Rock. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
And, you know, we scour the internet day and night so you don't have to. And then we put it all together in one convenient, tiny little present for you at KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
As usual, more videos up on the site this week than we can possibly spotlight here on the radio. Some don't have the best audio, but you have to see it, including one that Dave found of a girl who is blown away by a jet stream. Yes, you know, that's the exhaust that comes out of the back of a jet. Apparently in St. Martin, and this is amazing to me, this is in one of those beautiful beaches in the Caribbean. Apparently the beach butts right up against the airport, and there's no kind of barrier or anything like that. So when a jet backs up and gets ready to take off, all of that exhaust from the jet just goes right across the beach, and you're supposed
to
run away from it. You're supposed to move.
I saw in Jackass, man, they were people that get caught in that really fly.
It just picks you up and throws you like a rock. I mean, it's just insane. And this girl decides she's gonna you know stay basically hanging on to a fence and try to hang on to it while the jet is basically trying to lift her off the ground. And she can't hang on. She falls off, goes right into a concrete wall. But she's fine. But it's a very funny video. And there's another one, by the way, that we don't have audio for, of a reporter who's running around in an Easter Bunny outfit for the kids.
Sweet.
And then he trips and falls and the head comes off and all the kids freak out because they've just seen an Easter Bunny. somebody get killed. All right, let's take a look at the, some of the other ones. This one, you're just going to hear a little bit of a song, but trust me when I tell you that Kate Upton, who maybe is, well, she's the it girl for 2012 right now. She's the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. She's unbelievably hot. She's unbelievably sexy. And she, how do you describe, Kevin? You've seen this Easter video that she does. What, she's wearing like a little fur bikini top or something?
Yeah, and but she's not comfortable with how her boobs look in it, so she has to constantly correct that with her hands.
She certainly
as
is.
She bounces around and does a little Easter dance.
And she does that to this song.
Oh.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hopping.
Usually don't get wood to that song, but in
nope,
this particular
you will this time. And she's dangerously close to a nip slip, I have to tell you. You may have to watch the video a few times, but you'll see what I mean.
I watched it like 20 times, and it is pretty close.
Titanic, as you know, has been re-released back in theaters for the 100th anniversary of the actual Titanic ship going down. Spoiler alert, the ship does sink.
What?
There's a 3D version in theaters, but this guy made a video where he imagines a super 3D version, where you're sitting in the theater and you get hit in the face with icebergs, where, you know, if somebody gets shot, the bullets go into the theater. I mean, it's pretty crazy. And then they start to add all sorts of other directors, like it's the ultimate Titanic of all time. You know, there's some stormtroopers in there because George Lucas does it, and Michael Bay is involved, so everything explodes. It's a little bit of Titanic super 3D.
Titanic is back. Digitally upgraded with new 3D motion field technology. Now, with more monsters and an up-to-date soundtrack.
Yeah, they're dancing to dubstep in the steerage of the Titanic.
Anything but that song, what is it, My Heart Will Go On?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Dear God.
A couple of baseball-related videos here. Fans are out doing their thing. Here's the Orioles home opener, the Baltimore team, and there's a fan who shows up, and he's wearing what looks like black bikini briefs and a cape. He's kind of dressed sort of like a mostly naked Batman, and the guy that you'll hear on the video is the guy who's shooting the video. He's not the guy who's doing the actual running, but this dude jumps out onto the field, and it takes at least 2 minutes for all the security guys to finally mobilize to pull this guy down, but this dude who's shooting it is going crazy.
Yo, go, go, dude, go, go, go. Go! Oh! Oh, let's go! Oh!
What happens to you if you run on the field? We know that you get ejected from the game, but do you get arrested? Are you charged with trespassing?
Yeah, I think it's a small charge, but I do think you get arrested.
Yeah.
By the way, that guy is why Vin Scully is so great, because it's most of the time words fail you, and in this particular case, he didn't help that at all.
Now, at the Rangers ballpark, they have a section that you can sit in that's out kind of by center field, and then they have grass in the actual center field. This is behind the fence, so if somebody hits a home run, fans can get out of their seats and run out basically behind center field and catch the ball.
Awesome.
And they have video of this guy. He did it again this week for the Texas Rangers. Unfortunately, it was a home run against the Seattle Mariners, but they show this 17-year-old who runs out and catches the ball and does an amazing dance afterward, and apparently this guy shows up at all the games and always catches balls and always done crazy, does crazy dances. It's a little bit of a tribute to him.
In this one, they're now up eight to five. How about the sprinkler out in the center field from the fan as he gets the ball? Some great moves here. Yeah, in the moment, come on, celebrate. Yeah, show everyone you got the ball. Good for you.
Very worth checking out if you want to see a guy doing creative dancing in the ballpark. All right, I didn't realize that Mr. McFeely was still alive. Do you remember him from the old Mr. Rogers TV show?
I remember the name.
Mr. McFeely was the mailman, the speedy delivery guy who would always be bringing things to Fred Rogers in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And
he was
apparently
his gay partner, right?
No, he wasn't at all. He was just the mailman in the neighborhood.
Oh.
He apparently is still alive and is still doing things for the kids. In fact, in this case, he goes to visit a classroom full of little kids, and he brings along a friend who is a giant purple panda, basically. And he thinks the kids are going to love hanging out with this fuzzy purple panda. The kids panic like Godzilla has just walked into the room. Listen to this.
Well, there he is. Look, here's a panda. Hello, purple panda. Just stand right here. He's just pretending.
Poor Mr. McFeely is trying so hard to calm them down. He's like, no, he's just pretending. It's okay. And the kids are just terrified.
Love it.
It's so funny. All right, here's my new favorite video for 2012. I love this woman so much. This is going to remind you of our old friend Antoine Dodson. You remember him, the rapist in Linkin Park? He became an overnight sensation because he was interviewed on the news after somebody tried to break into his apartment, right? Well, this lady is telling the local news in New York what happened when a fire broke out, and her name is Sweet Brown, and I love her so much.
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop, and then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life, and then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I just love her so much.
She's the best.
And we close with a couple from our old friend Jimmy Kimmel. He, of course, does fantastic videos. The first one is in tribute to Easter when he shows us how peeps are made. Now, a lot of people don't know. You know, these peeps are hugely successful. They sell millions and millions and millions of them every Easter. But he actually goes behind the scenes and shows you a giant mama peep who's laying on a bed giving birth to lots of baby peeps.
They're actually, these peeps were made by hand until 1953. A Russian immigrant bought the company and started producing them in an unconventional way. That's not how they typically produce candy in the United States. Well, we have some footage of the process from the Library of Congress.
Okay, now push. Here we go. I can see the head. Push. Okay, the... Oh, yeah. You're doing very well. Very good.
They've actually got a giant peep giving birth to these things.
Yeah, the giant peep is spitting those peeps out like they're like it's the what's the show we saw with the ping pong balls?
Oh yeah,
shooting out into the audience. It's that sort of a deal.
Yeah.
And finally, this week in unnecessary censorship again, Jimmy Kimmel Live.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
The story behind Wyatt star John Hamm is in the closet f***ing another guy.
We're here to present the award for favorite butt f***er. Hey, you're kind of a butt f***ing expert, aren't you, Robert?
I dabble.
She gave me this stick and said, would you like to f*** the mountain lion? And I said, sure.
Should I make my special announcement that I f***ed my first black f***er? Wow.
There must be somebody on staff at Jimmy's show who just gets locked into a room and does nothing but watch television all day long to make these things, right?
24/7. And they find stuff that is innocent and is not dirty, and then they make it dirty just by adding beeps.
You can see all these videos and more and all the past Internet Roundup videos, too. Just go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for the brand new Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Looking ahead, by the way, toward this weekend's KROQ Coachella House. Lots of KROQ bands are going to be stopping by, some with interviews and performances, some to just say hi. M83 is going to be stopping by. Kasabian is going to be there. Band of Skulls, the Black Keys. Mike's Know the Hives, the Shins, great stuff happening all weekend long. If you can't be at Coachella, if you don't win tickets from us at 9 o'clock this morning, definitely be listening to K-Rock all weekend long, and they'll be bringing it to you live.
Blah, 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 huh? Blah, blah.
Roland?
Yes, it's Roland.
How did you get through?
I told you many times I hack into your board there with your audio through your phone line.
Well, don't do that. We were talking about something important that the listeners care about.
You're not talking about the most important things that the listeners really care about, the things that made many listeners very, very angry, and now I'm here to school you.
In what? What?
Your abuse of Calendar Man and the calculator.
Oh, let's not. Come on, Roland. Let's not even bring that. We already had this out with Ralph, and he agreed that they are sucky villains.
Two of the greatest Batman villains ever, Calendar Man and the calculator.
The calculator. Let's start with that one.
Calculator is awesome.
Because he can do math in his head? What?
No, because originally he had a keypad on his chest, and he was able to punch numbers into it and make solid light configurations come out of his headpiece.
That's stupid.
It's awesome. And then, more importantly, not only did he become the inventor of the internet, which is an internet used by villains, and was used also, may I remind you, to defeat Darkseid when he came from Apocalypse and tried to spread the anti-life equation.
I don't know anything about
that. What any of those things are.
And he's the father of Wendy and Marvin.
Who are Wendy and Marvin?
They?
Why do we care about them?
They were with the Teen Titans. They were from the Super Friends cartoon, and he was also the parent of them, and he killed Kid Eternity trying to bring Marvin back.
In the world of superheroes, these are bad villains. Yeah, the calculator is not...
The calculator provides all sorts of important information to villains so they can defeat the Justice League. Hello.
Like, he tells you how long it takes to get from Los Angeles to Las Vegas if you're going 55 miles an hour, that sort of thing?
I mean, you don't understand the power of information.
He's just doing math. Look, anyone can have a calculator. You don't need a human calculator.
He's a calculator.
But that's not impressive.
It is if you need to know how much to leave on a tip.
Right.
At a restaurant.
That doesn't make him a villain.
Oh, I can do it in my head, or I can just call the calculator. Punch into the internet, and he will give me that information, and also give me all the information if I want to rob that restaurant.
All right, what about Calendar Man?
Calendar Man is awesome.
He can't be awesome. He's Calendar Man.
He originally appeared in Detective Comics 259, the September 1958 issue.
Well, you don't have to tell us.
And, of course, then all his crimes were based on the seasons of the year. He had a different crime for each season.
Okay.
And Batman and Robin had tried to defeat him. But he's also come back to have special day crimes and also holiday crimes.
Okay.
His best costume, I think, was the one that had a giant calendar on his forehead and had the numbers 1 and 31 on his shoulders.
That doesn't sound lame to you as you say it?
How do you try to trap a criminal who's committing crimes based on days? You'd have to try to figure it out.
Okay, but
he's very clever.
But what can he do? Like, does he have any kind of special abilities? Does he have any superpowers or anything like that? Or is he just able to tell you it's Wednesday?
He can read a calendar.
Anyone can read a calendar.
Or can they?
Well, yes, they can.
Yes. If we say...
All right.
So not as impressive.
No, it's very impressive because what if... why did he steal all that coal from the coal mine? Because it's a Christmas holiday and he's going to put it in people's stockings.
That's not impressive, Roland. That's just not impressive.
He is one of the cleverest villains ever. That's all you need to know.
Roland, at least be honest and admit that the Calendar Man and the Calculator are in the – there have to be 1,000 villains in superhero comics that are better than these guys, right?
No way. These guys are some of the best.
They're not some of the best.
They're not like Kite Man.
Kite Man?
There's no Kite Man.
There's Kite Man. Batman's villain, Kite Man.
What? Who's Kite Man?
He flies on a kite.
But the kite doesn't go anywhere.
Of course it does.
It just stays at one place in the sky.
Not if you cut his string. Then what do you do? Then what happens?
You can't be defending
Kite Man. Kite Man is everywhere. Beware Kite Man.
These have to be in the bottom third of the villains.
Unless it's not a windy day, then Kite Man is not as effective.
Well, he can check the weather with Calendar Man, I bet. He can tell him when it was a good day to go, right?
He's not Weather Man.
He's not the weather wizard.
Oh, sorry. My mistake.
Is there really a weather wizard?
Of course. One of the Flash's rogues, weather wizard.
All right. Roland, we got to go, but thanks for your input.
Do you feel bad about what you said now?
Not a bit. Nope.
Oh, I'm going to call Weather Wizard and have him put a blizzard right over your house.
Happening. Comedian Jim Gaffigan joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And later on today, live music in studio from Jack Johnson. Where's he been?
Surfing.
Yeah. Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so. Come on, I'm going to be performing live for us. Very excited. Can't wait for that. He's got a new live album coming out next week. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You know, I love to give people opportunities from time to time to be on television. Now, this one is a web series. It's a reality competition show. It's going to be on a YouTube channel web series launching this summer. But I thought it was so interesting that I definitely wanted to give people a heads up that you could be on a show called Couples Fight.
Oh, good.
Here's the premise of Couples Fight.
Can I guess?
You and your significant other, boyfriend or girlfriend, husband or wife, will be trained by a professional MMA fighter for a couple of days. Then you will be matched on to take on another couple of the same size.
Well, that's not what I would have guessed.
Yeah, you wanted the guys to beat up the girls and the girls to beat up the guys. Kevin, you animal.
No, I just figured it would be like couples arguing about stuff.
No, this is going to be MMA fighting between couples.
But I don't want to see women. I don't know why.
Well, women are going to fight each other.
Yeah, okay.
The guys will fight each other, and the women will fight each other. That's how it works.
Sounds fair.
Tag team?
I don't believe it's a tag team. I think there's two separate matches. Winners of the match get $500 per person. This is
shaky at best.
This is like a street fight. You could do that. You can make more money in an alley.
Yeah. Sounds like we're heading toward the Hunger Games to me.
Ah, yes. If you'd like to be in the Hunger Games, also known as Couples Fight, you can...
All you have to do is kill kids. It's no big deal.
You can check it out at the information that I don't have here.
Oh, you didn't...
Ain't nobody got time for that!
Contact me at ralph@krock.com, and I'll give you the information. Apparently, there was another page of this that is missing, and I will find out for you how you can audition for Couples Fight. If you want to make some money and beat someone up, Couples Fight is for you. Now, let's talk about people I want to beat up.
All right.
One Direction. One Direction is the name of the band.
Yeah.
You're over them already?
Over them? I was never on them. I was never under them. I was never next to them. Whatever other direction there is other than over.
Them.
I was never behind them.
Right.
But they've only been in our consciousness for a few weeks, but you've already...
Too much.
You're already over it.
2 weeks too much.
Yeah.
The band called One Direction is trying to take over our United States, trying to threaten our very liberties that we hold dear, boys and girls.
I didn't realize that's what they were doing.
It's an invasion. They, of course, were on Saturday Night Live. They've been selling out large venues all over the country. They are the new teen phenomenon from the mind of Simon Cowell. Well, here's the good news, boys and girls. Looks like the USA wins again. Turns out, there's already a band here in the United States that calls itself One Direction.
Is that right?
Interesting. Ha-ha! Simon Cowell's record label, Psycho Entertainment, and Sony Music have just been hit with a $1 million lawsuit that says One Direction can't navigate itself into U.S. jurisdiction without causing consumer confusion.
Love it.
And destroying the goodwill of the U.S.-based One Direction. USA! 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 Now, some people would say, oh, come on, please. One Direction from the UK is a huge, giant juggernaut of a band. No one knows who the One Direction is here in the United States. How can they possibly claim that their business is being damaged by the name One Direction? Well, how about this for proof? UK's version of One Direction was being shown on the Today Show. Showing a picture of them. They put some music underneath the photo.
Right.
It was music from the U.S. band One Direction.
No kidding.
Someone had gone on iTunes and pulled one of their songs off and played that under a picture of the U.K. band.
That's like confusion in the marketplace.
That's pretty good evidence right there that there's some confusion. So they may have to change their name, or they may be murdered. I don't know what the result is going to be, but I'm just glad.
I don't think it's murdered.
I'm glad that they're having a hard time, that One Direction, those evil bastards.
Ralph, haven't there been a couple of examples of bands where this exact same thing happened, and they ended up having to just add UK to their name or something? What was it? Who am I thinking
of? The Charlatans UK did it.
Charlatans UK, maybe Squeeze UK, I think. For a while, they were known as Squeeze UK.
Wham UK? There was Wham UK initially.
So I wonder if that's what will end up happening.
The English Beat.
That's right, because there was already the beat. That's right.
They had a change. There's been a lot of I guess it's not a uncommon occurrence for people to think of the same band name at the same time.
Sure.
The Grateful Dead was originally called the Warlocks, and they found out there was another Warlocks already working, so they had to change their name.
But I'm surprised that it happens now at all because of the internet. It made sense when there was no way to know if there was a garage band in Cincinnati with the same name. But now, you know, if they got a MySpace page, you can see that name is used.
And here's
the
thing. One Direction US had their album up on iTunes and was selling albums well before One Direction UK ever even came to existence.
It's not even really
So it sounds like Simon might be writing a check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he dropped the ball on the research on this, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and it's not that great a name either.
One Direction, no.
Yeah.
Is that a joke? What, never mind. I don't know if I could say it or not. No. Let me see if I can clean it up in my head. What is very rich and goes in One Direction?
What's very rich? I don't know.
Simon Cowell.
Yay!
Yeah, that worked, sort of.
That worked.
Yeah. Hey, Game of Thrones fans. Just announced yesterday, HBO has picked up the show for a third season. So you got lots more Game of Thrones in store. That's good news, right?
Yep.
Sure.
And bad news for Hunger Games fans. It is official now. Director Gary Ross, who directed the first film, will not be directing the second film. Here's the problem. He says, as a writer and a director, I simply don't have the time I need to write and prep the movie I would have wanted to make because of the fixed and tight production schedule. I talked about this before, that Jennifer Lawrence, the star of the film, is already committed to do the sequel to X-Men First Class.
Right.
So they have to get Hunger Games in under the wire before she goes off to shoot that if they want to get the sequel into production. So apparently they are rushing. They're doing a rush job on the sequel.
Ew.
And this Gary Ross fella has enough dignity as a director to say, look, I'm not going to just rush a product out there. If it's going to be crap, yeah, I don't really want to put my name on it, and I don't be responsible for it. So I'd rather back out than have that hanging over.
Didn't the Harry Potter series have many directors?
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Yeah, it's not saying that somebody couldn't step in and do a good job. What concerns me is the fact that they're rushing to get it done. Even a good director, if the script is half-assed, I think they're still working on the script. If the production schedule is tight, if they're jamming them up, it's not an ideal way to make a film. So fans of the series may have a bit of concern, but sometimes it works in your favor. If you have a little limited amount of time, it forces you to make quick choices, and you can just go with your gut.
You know what they need to do, Ralph, is get Clint Eastwood to do it.
Yeah, he can crank them out, can't he?
Or Woody Allen. Those guys can make any movie they want in 40 days.
Woody Allen's Hunger Games, I think, would be fascinating.
Well, that sounds like...
Can't believe they're firing arrows at me in the woods. I'm not a big fan of camping. Too many bugs. A lot of people complaining in the woods.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Woody Allen movie that he shot in Rome?
No,
they just released the trailer this week with Penelope Cruz as a whore.
No.
Oh, it's very good.
Good casting.
I want to buy that.
Me too.
Yes. Yes. Got a great cast. Alec Baldwin. I mean, everybody's in it, but it looks real good.
You have any discounts? Just perhaps for AARP? Today's celebrity birthday is Dylan Keefe of Marcy's Playground is 42 years old today. Jennifer Esposito from Blue Bloods turns 39. Trisha Helfer, she was a Cylon, don't you know, on Battlestar Galactica, 38. Chris Gayler of All American Rejects turns 33. Alessandra Ambrosio, supermodel, turns 31.
She's at Coachella every year.
You going to hang out with her again?
Well, you know how I do.
No, I don't know how you do.
I don't know. I just follow her around.
Take pictures from behind. Joss Stone celebrates her 25th birthday today. Put on some shoes, Joss, for God's sakes. You're a grown woman now. Perform in shoes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you want to go to Coachella, the 3-day passes are sold out, but we have 5 chances for you today, and we have 5 chances for you tomorrow, and we have 5 chances for you on Friday. And that is 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. We'll tell you when to call. You get in, you get 3-day passes to see Coachella this weekend.
What kind of shape are you and the King of Mexico going to be in on Monday's show after spending all weekend with Coachella?
Possibly show-missing shape.
Yes, that's what I thought. Or dead. And Sunday night, I know, Kevin, you were already excited about Dr. Dre and Snoop getting back together and performing, but you saw the news yesterday that now Eminem is going to be joining them?
I did not see that news.
And Wiz Khalifa.
Fantastic.
How about that, huh?
Oh, can we just not count on me on Monday?
I think you still need to
can
come
Can I take
on
a sick day? I'm feeling...
Jim Gaffigan joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. That is our 24-7 voicemail. You call, you leave messages. Got a lot of great response to April Foolishness, sold out Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. And thanks again to everybody who bought tickets to raise money, help us raise charity money for the Cedars-Sinai NICU and also for the Wounded Warriors. You know, Larry King opened the show, and I think he went over very, very well. But there was one question that either Larry or we neglected to answer. And that's what this listener's calling about.
Now that April Foolishness is over, I've just been dying to know. Was Glenda there?
I don't believe Glenda appeared. I don't think she ended up showing up. Do you?
I did not see her, no.
Yeah, because, you know, that was what Larry was wondering about. He kept asking us.
Will Glenda be there?
But we didn't actually end up seeing her, so I can't help you there. Here's a fan of Miss Double December.
Hi, I'm at work. I'm looking at the pictures of Miss Double December. Yeah. What are you looking at? Damn coworkers. Never seen a before.
Joanna, Miss Double D, was there at Foolishness, too, having the best time of her life. And she's awesome. I regret that we've not seen her more in 2012 because she's a lot of fun.
She did make a painting for us with her boobs.
Yeah, what about that? Where's the making of a documentary on that process,
That's
by
what
the
I
way?
Told her. There should be a picture on the back, at least.
Exactly. We were giving away tickets for April Foolishness last week, and one of the ways that we did it was have you call in with your jokes that were 5 seconds or less, and this guy decided he, you know, can't win the tickets now, but he still wants to call and leave some for us.
I showed you a bit about... a 5-second joke thing, and I wanted to share some with you that you might like. First one is, you pay beer mug to work for you. Second one is, beer mug works for you. Third one is, beer mug.
Those would be funny if they weren't so heartbreakingly true. In fact, this next Afro call, also more love for beer mug.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been listening to you guys for more than 15 years, and I put up with Ralph the New Guy. I put up with Lisa May coming full time. I put up with Psycho Mike. but I will not put up with the combination of beer mug with the Armenian comedian. That is where I draw the line. See, here's the line. I'm making it right now. You guys cross it, I'm done. Can you really afford to lose one black woman? I doubt it.
We can't afford to lose one woman.
The countdown to Samageddon, by the way, we're going to talk about in just a few minutes as the Armenian comedian plans his return for, at least we plan his return for Monday. And the Afro calls her.
By the way, she has a point. We might ought to banish beer mug for Monday. I mean, that
that's
might
a great
be
idea.
Too much bad.
That might be too much. That might be too much, yeah. Here's another caller who has some remarks about the return of Sam.
I just woke up, and the first thing I hear is that Sam, the Armenian comedian, is coming back. You guys. You hard. You twice. I cannot believe you motherfuckers are bringing Sam, the Armenian comedian, back on the show. You just ruined my whole goddamn week. You. I want a refund for my Weenie Rose ticket. I want them to take away your license for the radio station. You. I am so mad at you guys. I hate you.
I can't wait either.
Monday's going to be great. We're right there with you, sir. You remember last week on the Kevin Mean Internet Roundup, we had that phenomenal video of the guy who was arrested up in Canada, and he was in the back of a police car. And to prove how sober he sang every single word of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Remember? It was really impressive. I mean, a sober guy usually couldn't come up with all those lyrics. Well, this guy's got an update on the story.
Bean was right. There was a drunk black guy in the back of that car, but he was singing a different Queen song. Bean is an asshole. My friend, and being is an asshole till the end.
Okay. That's fine.
Being is an asshole. Being is an asshole.
Sing it if you know it.
No time for thinking, 'cause being is an asshole till the end. What a dick.
Yeah, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Last week, we also had another great moment with Kevin. Let me refresh your memory.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Handed it to the catcher and then ran the bases. Went all the way to first, second, third, fourth, and then slid it home.
That was a moment with Kevin.
And that's why this guy's calling.
Man, I was playing softball the other day with my company, and I didn't see a fourth base.
Nope. Nope, sure isn't one.
I played Little League. I played high school baseball. I know.
And you remember their big five bases the way you played, right?
No fourth base.
And finally, call of the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, somebody who can't get enough of David Lynch's new song.
Oh, God. First it was Red Solo Cup. Now it's David Lynch. Are you kidding me? I need to kill myself now.
No, no, this is all good.
Let's hear a little bit of that, shall we? Get this stuck in your head again.
Holy!
By the way, if you haven't seen the video, you have to see the video.
Holly
did have a red shirt.
Can't argue with how accurate he is.
Susie
took off her shirt.
That happened. That's a song that got written and recorded and then released.
For the video.
And then played.
Holly had a red
shirt. 323-520-AFRO. That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro. Very exciting next 20 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Two world-class comedians. Jim Gaffigan is going to be joining us on the phone to talk about his new comedy special.
And right now we're
going to talk about Sam, the Armenian comedian, who isn't here yet because the restraining order hasn't quite expired, but will be joining us in studio on Monday after 2 years away from the show. You know, a lot of people are suggesting that the very first thing we do when we get Sam in here on Monday is ask him again. Are you sure? You sure you won't take back calling in a bomb threat to K-Rock?
Because then he won't, and then he'll go back.
Because then he won't, and it'll be suspended
another 2 years or whatever.
And then we won't have to talk to him again for another 2 years. But here's just a brief recap about the great work he has done as a comedian over the years on our show.
I'm the best comedian teller, and I can't say these jokes on the air, but I would have said better jokes than... You have never heard from me yet.
Okay. Thank you, Sam. Let's hear a couple of his jokes, for instance. Remember when the Marv Albert story was big a few years ago after Marv Albert, the sportscaster? Remember he lost his job for a while because he was involved in some sort of a sex thing in a hotel where he bit a woman's back. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Do you remember that right?
But
yeah.
I think it was consensual, which
I think it was.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very weird. But Sam finally crafted a joke out of that story.
What one sportsman said to the other sportsman, when we going to start biting... females back like Merv Albert.
That is a classic example of the kind of comedy that you get out of Sam the Armenian Comedian.
Which is to say, no comedy.
Right, but there is, I mean, there's the germ. It's like the pieces are there for potentially a joke, but they're not arranged in any kind of an order that makes it funny.
And that's why we're calling this Samageddon.
You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh**.
You thought you were safe.
Hey!
You were wrong.
That's right.
I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
It's countdown to Samageddon.
Let's hear a couple more jokes, because Sam really does have the delivery down.
Of course, there was no comedian working who didn't have a chunk on Michael Jackson when his troubles were going on.
Michael Jackson, he didn't know if he was white or black, but right now his son will know.
Anyone?
Right now his son will know. At least the last one you could see where he was going.
Any clue what the joke was there? Any
right now his son
thoughts?
Will know.
Sam's got a joke about pajamas.
You know why the Armenians like pajama parties? Because they don't have to take off too much.
Now, I guess that's a joke to Armenians sleep naked or something? Is that what that's about?
I guess.
And finally, one time we had Sam in on the show dressed in one of his many alter egos. Of course, he's Metal Man. He's also Mr. Clown, and I think he was Mr. Clown that day. And he, believe it or not,
you guys remember that this was – I had to come up with all of these different ways to get him on the show because all of you were revolting.
Yes.
Hated it, everybody.
So when we would say no more Armenian comedian on the show, you would say that's fine. I've got a new entertainer to introduce you to. His name is Mr. Clown, and he would come and dress as a clown, but of course it would just be Sam. Well, this particular day, the morning news show over on KTLA Channel 5 was visiting us at K-Rock for some reason. I don't remember why, but Mr. Clown was in,
and
we took that opportunity for Mr. Clown to tell a joke not only to us and the Kevin and Bean listeners, but also to the Channel 5 viewers, and here's how that went.
All right, we are back live at K-Rock 106.7, the Kevin and Bean Morning Show. We want to thank you guys for inviting us in here.
Absolutely.
Just had a great time.
Absolutely.
And we just have a moment. We had to. We promised the listeners and the viewers. Mr. Clown is in the house.
Mr. Clown.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present for you the comedy stylings of Mr. Clown.
The world's greatest living children's entertainer. Mr. Clown, we don't have very much time. What's your best joke this morning for the KTLA viewers? Now, wouldn't this be an opportunity for Sam to go, wow, this is big time. I'm on radio and television. I'm going to bring my A-level material.
I have that one joke that seems to kill every time I tell it.
Clearly, that's what you'd use. Let's see what he comes up with.
Okay, in the third grade, geography teacher asked to the students, how is this world made? Like, you know? And one of them says, it's shaped like an egg. One of them says, it's shaped square, rectangular, straight like Christopher Columbus style. And all of a sudden, one of them crazy dude says, hey, teacher, this world is made like crooked.
That is no Mr. Clown. Is he not the greatest? Yeah. All right, Anderson. That's not that. And it wasn't even a good. It wasn't even a good joke.
Sorry.
It's not. It wasn't.
Here's funny.
Wasn't funny.
Not funny now.
The point is that I'm sure he's got material by now. And Mr. Clown, Sam the Armenian Comedian, joins us live in the studio Monday. His triumphant return to the Kevin Bean Show. All right, Anderson. You don't want to miss it.
Who's looking at a box of Hot Pockets? They have a warning printed on the sign. So, morning, you just bought Hot Pockets. Hope you're drunk or heading home to a trailer.
Christmas tree, where we go out and we chop down a tree and we put it in our living room. Kind of sounds like the behavior of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up.
Honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room?
We're gonna decorate it for Jesus.
Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like,
you want to know how good bacon is? To improve other food, they wrap it in bacon. Not interested in a salad? Bibbidi-bobbidi bacon!
Please welcome Jim Gaffigan.
Very fine actor, hilarious comedian. His new special is called Mr. Universe, available today exclusively for download from jimgaffigan.com for just $5. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thanks so much for letting me call in, and thanks for that montage.
Well, it was timely. We thought we would go with the Christmas stuff.
I loved it.
Jim, is it true that your old friend David Letterman bumped you this week for a guy named Bubba? Did that really happen?
He did. But, you know, that's at show business, and this Bubba guy, you know, I taught him how to play golf.
Oh, is he the guy that won the Masters, Bubba?
Yeah, you know, his name's not even Bubba. His name's like Hiram Fleshman. He's from, like, Teaneck, New Jersey.
Right.
This whole kind of southern good old boy thing is, no, it's all a joke. I mean, I doing this, he's got a really good sense of humor, and I ran into him. I did Morning Joe this morning, and he seems like a great guy, Bubba.
Yeah. It's just, it's so weird that there's now, I mean, we don't even blink anymore that there's actually a famous person who actually goes by Bubba. That used to be such a punchline, such a joke, but now, I mean, this guy's a multimillionaire, and we all take him seriously because he's great at one thing.
Well, you know, it's also interesting because he doesn't, I mean, I'm from Indiana, you know, I'm pretty white trash. He does not look like a Bubba.
No, at all.
He looks like he should be, you know, like a reoccurring character on Community. You know
yeah.
I mean? He's a good looking guy. He's, you know, he seems kind of, funny and kind of engaging. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I met him for 20 seconds. But,
well, no, I understand.
None of that stuff could be said about a Bubba, though.
That's right.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean? It's like, I saw him today. He's wearing that green jacket. I'm like, are you going to wear that, like, everywhere now?
I would.
Hey, if I won an Oscar, I'd never stop carrying it around with me. I think there are just some things you got to take advantage of if you're lucky enough to get one.
I'd wear it like Flava Flav's clock.
That's right. We're going to talk about the special, but I have to ask first, Mr. Gaffigan, if this is true, are you really doing your current comedy tour where you and your wife and four small children are driving around the country on some sort of a tour bus?
Yes. I mean, I'm doing different legs of it, you know, like, you know, I'm going to, you know, we're going to San Francisco in a couple weeks, and that's obviously just going to be me or maybe me and my wife. And, but, you know, we did an 11-day bus tour through, you know, starting in New York and going all the way to Mount Rushmore and back. And
oh, my God. Kevin, can you imagine with four small children in
no,
a bus? Can you even imagine how much time that would take you?
No. I love it kids. Like, it would drive me crazy.
It was like the circus. I mean, it's, you know, the whole idea behind it was that I hate being away from my kids. You know, it's like one day away from your kids, you're like, you relish the sleep, but anything after that, you feel kind of guilty, but, you know, it was just chaos. You know, there's nothing like changing a diaper on a bus that's going 60 miles an hour. But, you know, and we tried to see sites. You know, we saw Mount Rushmore, and I don't know if you've ever been there. It's really just a mountain with four heads on it. So it's cool for like a minute, but then you're like, I turned to my kids and I was like, take a look because I'm never coming back here.
Yeah, it's not the Mount Rushmore amusement park. You really just pull over to the side of the road and you go, yep, there it is. A guy sure did carve those faces. And then you get in the car and drive away.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the Black Hills are beautiful, but, you know, it's sacred land to the Lakota Indians. And out of respect, we carved four white guys into the side of one of the mountains. But this land is sacred. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me a second. These guys were all about freedom, except for, of course, the two guys that own slaves.
Yeah, exactly. Jim Gaffigan is on the phone, and this is a very big week for him because he has a new comedy special. That part's not new. What's new is you're going the newfangled way of selling it, which is write to your fans, cut out the middleman, and pass the savings on to me. Just $5. Tell us about the Mr. Universe special, Jim.
Well, I'm selling it for $5 on my website. This is inspired by my friend Louis C.K. who did this. And what I learned from Louis is you keep the price really low and you make it really easy to buy. I'm not a tech guy. And, you know, when I downloaded Louis, I was like, this is just too easy. And so how I wanted to do something different is that, you know, because I don't want to get into the practice of, like, treating people that like my comedy as, like, customers. So, one of the dollars from every download, giving to the Bob Woodruff Foundation, which helps out veterans and their families.
Oh, that's cool.
And
he's the ABC newsman that got pretty much blown up while over there covering a story, right?
Yeah, and I had done a benefit for them, and I just saw that, you know, there's tons of great charities, but I'd met Bob and his wife Lee, and there was just no bureaucracy associated with it. It was not a vanity trip for them. It was something they were very passionate about and very involved in. And so, I'm not a brave guy. You know, it's the least I could do, really, in a way. And so, I don't know. I'm excited. This is a gamble. You know, I invested a lot of money. You know, Louis was successful, but I'm just kind of hoping. My goal is to break even, but if I don't, it's not the end of the world, because luckily I can tour and do theater shows and make a decent living that way.
Well, this sort of the way of the future, though, for comedians that have talent is to put it up on their website, charge people a small amount of money, and all of a sudden you don't have to go have a special on HBO.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, Aziz also did it, and, you know, I don't know, you know, because I don't, you know, there's a certain level of, you know, civility or politeness. You know, I talked to Louis and I talked to Aziz, but, you know, I'm not sitting there going, you know, trying to figure out how they did it exactly or how many they're selling or whatever. I'm just kind of doing it, you know, based on Louis's model but, you know, the whole thing that I'm realizing is that there's no publicity department whatsoever. So it's like you guys are in charge of my West Coast promotions department.
Well, I've seen your comedy, and of course you've got, you know, a million followers on Twitter, so obviously you've built up quite a fan base over the years. You only need a tiny fraction of those people to pony up the $5, and why wouldn't they? It's a great special for great cause. Like you said, you get some money to the charity as well, and I love what you guys are doing, where you're making it basically restriction free. In other words, if I pay the $5 and download it, I can then burn it to a DVD if I want, or I can also put it on my iPad or whatever I want to do. You know, you're not putting any restrictions on that. You're just saying, hey, yeah, be cool, give me the $5 and then do what you want with it. It's yours, which is awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've all been in that position. You know, I've got 4 kids, so I've got like 4 different iPad, tablet things that I'm downloading all these kids' movies on, and I encounter it. I encounter these restrictions, and it's just like, do I own it or not? It's
right.
Like, this way you own it, and, you know, the whole idea is that this is not on TV. I don't have plans for it to be on TV. I don't have plans for it to be available in, you know, like a Best Buy. I don't even know if they're still open, you know, or any of these stores. It's a gamble, but I feel like, you know, my gut is that this is how I would want it, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, nothing's easier than the one button download either. JimGaffigan.com is where you want to go to download the new special. It is called Mr. Universe. It is available today, and you can follow Jim on Twitter @JimGaffigan. We wish you the very best, Jim. You're welcome anytime on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting me call in.
It has some weird sounds at the end of it.
It does.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 4 minutes till 8 o'clock.
You found out your significant other, your boyfriend or girlfriend, was actually married after you'd been dating for some time.
Idiot.
That's going to be the topic of discussion. We'll talk to Kevin B. Lister, who has had it happen to her twice, Ralph Garman.
Stupid bitch.
Coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I finally have a reason to watch American Idol.
Oh.
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Oh, no. Does that mean you're going to come in and talk about it?
No, probably not. I'm just going to watch and laugh and point.
I taped one show this season and tuned in to watch Lana Del Rey's performance, and that was the extent of it. But what's coming up that sounds good?
The American Idol contestants live in this mansion, you know.
Okay.
And they're all living in there in one place. And it turns out that mansion is one of those properties that the owners like to rent out to production companies to have them use it for stuff.
Right.
So before the American Idol kids moved in there, it was the location of the Playboy TV show Swing, which was the story of a bunch of sex-crazed swingers living in the house for Playboy's reality show Swing, living together and sharing their X-rated escapades. So two of the cast members are now talking about that building, about that house.
Right.
Saying those Idol contestants really should be careful because we had sex on everything in every room and every location of that house.
No.
Especially the music room where they do all their practicing. One of the guys says, we used to line that room wall to wall with mattresses. We called it the boom boom room. And that's where we'd have our group orgies. They said, also keep in mind, we did it in the shower, on the floor, on all the countertops, outside, and of course, in the elevator.
Well, sounds sexy.
So for hygiene's sake, the American Idol kids may want to, you know, wear shower shoes.
Bring in the black light.
Yeah, see what's going on there. I'm just going to watch now. I'm just going to point and say, ah, there is not that counter. Somebody had sex on it. That'll make me feel better about myself. This is great because I don't like Katherine Heigl. And it seems to be a groundswell of people who do not care for her.
Well, she doesn't seem like a pleasant person, and she's not a particularly gifted actress either.
No. But the good news is her film, Zizek's Road, is finally being distributed. Zizek's Road was a film that she shot when she was back on Grey's Anatomy, shot in 2006.
All right.
It was released and made a grand total of $30.
What?
It is the lowest grossing film of all time.
What?
It was released in one theater in Dallas, Texas. It only made $30 while it was there, and it's considered the lowest grossing film of all time. But they are re-releasing it. The distributor Go Digital will be reissuing the film to a theoretically waiting public.
Wow.
We'll wait and see. Co-stars Tom Sizemore and Leo Grillo. And we'll see if anyone's interested in seeing this film or not. Someone's going to give it a second shot. Give it a second life. See if anyone wants to go see Zizek's Road.
That's weird.
It is weird, and I'm predicting no one will want to see it. And now we know where the Simpsons live. Finally.
Springfield?
Matt Groening. Well, here's the thing. Matt Groening, for 20 years and 500 episodes, would never say where Springfield was. You know, there's like, I don't know, how many Springfields in America?
Yeah, like 20 of them or something.
Yeah, a couple dozen Springfields. And so everyone was saying, well, is it Springfield, Missouri? Is it Springfield, Massachusetts? Where? Which Springfield do they live in? Well, Matt Groening has finally settled the debate. Springfield, Oregon is the home of the Simpsons.
Why did that need to be settled?
Because people needed to know, Kevin. Springfield, Oregon is about 110 miles south of his hometown of Portland. He said that was the model for the cartoon city, which meets the Trojan nuclear power plant in Rainier, Oregon, is the one Homer would work at if he was alive and real and lived in this city, which he doesn't.
None of that is true.
Exactly. But now the Simpson fans, their curiosity has been sated. By their Lord and Savior.
Will that show ever go off the air?
I don't know. It's getting pretty expensive to make.
Yeah, because they have to pay
the talent, the fees they pay the talents are pretty exorbitant. And they've got enough, obviously, for syndication.
Yeah.
Since they've got 500 episodes.
Ratings?
Ratings are strong. Fox does really well with their animation domination Sundays.
I'm number one. Victory is mine. So kiss my behind. Boom, chaka-laka-laka, in your face, boo, cha, ka-chaka-kao, ba, a-boo, a-ba, who's your daddy, a-boo-ba-doo-ba-doo.
He's number one. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joss Stone turns 25 years old today. Alessandra Ambrosio is 31 years old. Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica is 38. Jennifer Esposito from Blue Bloods is 39. Wow. And Dylan Keefe of Marcy Playground.
I smell sexy. Oh. Yeah.
Come on, Dylan. Walk it. Walk that bass.
Who's that lounging?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. You got it. He's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What?
I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm going to just admit it and let the chips fall where they may. I'm a huge Jack Johnson fan. I love this dude, and I love his records. He sold over 20 million records, you know, Jack Johnson.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's fantastic. And we've had him on the show a bunch of times over the years. And he's so nice and so mellow. And he's going to be joining us in about an hour from right now, performing live on the Kevin Bean Show. Jack Johnson's got a new album out, and we'll be talking to him. That's coming up. First, though, what if I were to tell you, Kevin, that I talked to a young lady who listens to the Kevin Bean Show over the weekend, who has been dating a man for 8 years and found out recently that 2 years ago he ran off and got married to someone else and she didn't know about it.
And she was still dating him?
Yes.
I would say awesome.
I would say awesome as well. And I would say, ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to our little friend Jessica, who joins us on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, guys.
So you were dating him for 8 years, and 2 years ago he went and married another woman.
Yes.
So you clearly weren't living together.
No, we weren't living together.
Okay.
But I didn't even find out until he texted me the information during a fight.
Well, that's how you want to break that kind of news, is through text.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But didn't Man, we have so many questions for you, Jessica. We're going to be looking for calls for people who have had similar things happen. The person that you were dating turned out to be married and you didn't know it. But how did you not know? I mean, did nothing change on his end from the time before he was married to the time after he was married? I would think that his schedule would have tightened up if nothing else.
His schedule stayed the same. According to him, he got married because he had gotten laid off 2 years ago and needed health benefits, and she was nice enough to suggest it.
That was his excuse for you?
So his cover story was that he only got married for the health benefits. It's not like he was actually having sex with or in love with another woman.
Exactly.
And you bought that?
No, I did not.
Okay, good. Good.
I'm not that dumb.
Okay, good.
Well, we're trying to ascertain that yet. Yeah, right, exactly. All right, so he's married to this other – now, was he living with this other woman, this his wife, I guess? Was he living with her then while you guys were still dating?
Apparently so.
Then how did you not know just by virtue of the fact that if you have a boyfriend at this time, you know, 6 years you guys have been going strong, don't you occasionally go over to his house?
Yes, but, you know, she's not there, and I'm not noticing anything. And anytime I would ask about what was going on with them, he would say, I need to go on medication, I'm crazy, I make things up in my head.
Well, weren't any of those things red flags?
Yes.
I'm crazy, I need to go on medication? That alone should have had you moving on.
So, Jessica, did you know that he was living with a woman, you just didn't know that it was his wife?
Yes.
Oh, so you thought it was a roommate?
I thought it was a roommate because she's the godmother to his son, and she kind of took him in when he had nowhere to go.
Jerry!
Why didn't you take him in when he had nowhere to go?
Because he doesn't want to live in the valley, and I apparently live in the valley. I'm not good enough.
Well, he'd rather live with his wife, too. So tell me about this fight when this information was transmitted to you. And did it burn you? I mean, did he save it for the right? Because if I had that kind of information I was going to drop on my girlfriend, man, I would make sure to not waste it. I would save it for the right moment. How did he use it?
No, he did it accidentally. We were arguing about her, and I kept asking what's going on with her, and he said nothing. And he slips out. A lot of husbands don't have sex with their wives in a text message.
He said that? So he texted you, a lot of men don't have sex with their wives, and you said, wow, what wife?
What do you mean?
Exactly. And then that's when he took 3 days to block me from everything so he could figure out another story.
Oh, Jessica.
How long from that moment until you broke up with him?
Once I got the story. I had to get the story first.
Right. And how long did that take? A month?
It took a couple of days. Once he unblocked me and decided to come clean with me, that's when
he blocked you, did you think, hey, that's my sign, perhaps I should move on here?
We've been dating for 8 years. That can't be a sign of a healthy relationship, but I'm now being blocked.
I'm being blocked by a guy that I just found out was married.
Right. Now, here's the most amazing thing, and again, we're going to be taking your calls. If you've had a similar story with someone you were dating you found out was married, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
Your boyfriend or girlfriend was married to someone else.
Right. Here's the most incredible thing about Jessica, and this is the thing that really made me think, oh, my God, we have to get this woman on the show. You've just heard the sad tale, Kevin, of what happened to her with her most recent boyfriend.
Right.
What if I were to tell you this is the second time that she's been dating a guy who turned out to have gotten married while they were dating? How about that?
I would say she's the dumbest woman alive.
But you meet her, and she doesn't seem that way.
You met her at April Fool's?
No. Oh. She works on the Nothing But Chill podcast, Dave and I were guests on that over the weekend, and Jessica works on the show there. So we got, you know, she was very sad. She was practically crying. And we're like, what's up, little flower? And she's like, well, I just found out my boyfriend. So then we get into it a little bit, and then we found out that she had a previous boyfriend, and it worked out a little bit differently because you guys were kind of on again, off again, but still seeing each other. And at some point in one of the off agains, he married another woman, right?
Yeah, I was actually engaged to that one.
Wow. Nice. So he went off and married someone else in a quote-unquote break, but then didn't tell you about it and continued to see you once you guys were back on again.
Yeah, and he actually was nice enough to call me on Christmas morning to say Merry Christmas. By the way, I ran off to Laughlin and got married.
Oh, Jessica. What do you think is wrong with you, sweetheart?
Wait a minute. Wait,
master look. Fail. Wait. That's my thing.
Yeah, let's back up. You are aware this is you, right?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to check.
Well, I think
nobody fails like I do.
Okay.
I think next time, if you ever have the nerve to date again, I think you get yourself one of them private investigators and you do a deep, deep, deep background check on the next guy and insist before date one you go over to his place and inspect it, all right?
Seriously.
Wow.
All right, Jessica. Good luck. Keep in touch. Let us know how it's going.
Find somebody worse than me.
Nope. Not possible.
We'll try, but I can't guarantee it.
All right.
I love that we already have the lines are blowing up. Maria, you please hang on. We're going to get to you. 1-800-520-1067. Your boyfriend or girlfriend, unbeknownst to you, was married. Tell us about it. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean. All right. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean listener Jessica has had this happen twice to her. Guys that she was in long-term relationships with, she found out after the fact that sometime while they were together, they went off and married somebody else and didn't tell her. So how does that happen is the question.
And how does it happen twice?
Yes. It seems like your radar would be way up after the first time. Let's go to Maria first. 1-800-520-1067. We got as many calls as we got time for because apparently this is very common. Maria, thank you for holding on. What's your story?
I was working with someone and I left the job, but I kept seeing him afterwards. And we were seeing each other for a couple of years when his best friend told me that he was married.
And, wow. And that just must have just blown your mind. You probably couldn't even believe it, right?
Well, he was kind of sketchy, so I kind of believed it.
he was sketchy.
But I knew he was going to deny it because, like I said, he was kind of sketchy.
Right.
So I confronted him. He denied it. And then I went down to the Hall of Records and found a copy of his wedding license.
Nice. Look at you.
Yeah. And then I went back to confront him at work with the wedding license in my hand. But I thought he is so good at talking himself out of everything. He's going to do it again. I'm going to have a photocopy so that when he denies it, I can still have one to drum it into my stupid head.
Right.
Hanging over and made a photocopy. And then left the original on the photocopier.
Mm.
I went over and confronted him, and he didn't. Those were his words. And he said, so she didn't have, she was illegal. She didn't have insurance. He wanted the kid to have insurance. He was trying to do the right thing by his kid. So he married her, civil ceremony. No emotion, no big deal. He just wanted the kid to have some sort of health insurance.
Gotcha.
Meanwhile, his other girlfriend found the copy I left on the photocopier.
Sweet.
Yeah, so he actually had
two
girlfriends on the side.
Wow, that guy was a baller.
And he was living with the girl that he got pregnant.
Good times. This is why the Jerry Springer Show will never go off the air. Thank you very much for the call, Maria. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Allie. This is great. She's on line 3. You guys had only been dating for 6 months when you found out, right?
Hello?
Hey,
hi there.
Hey, Allie.
Hi.
Hi. You say you'd only been dating for 6 months when you found out. What happened?
Well, I had a party. Well, he told me he had recently got divorced.
Right.
And he was living in the apartment below his ex-wife because he couldn't bear to be away from his child.
Okay. Right. That's
makes
acceptable.
Sense so far. Yeah.
So I had a party, and I wanted to introduce him to all my friends, and he's like, oh, you can't have it on that day. And I'm like, you have to have it on this day. And I'm like, why? And we were at a restaurant. We were trying to order food, and he's like, I guess, blurted out, well, because my ex-wife will be out of town.
My ex-wife will be out of town.
I thought this was odd. Like, what does his ex-wife care? He's like, well, I can't be coming home late because her brother, who's my roommate, might see me, and that's disrespectful.
What? Oh, wow. So, in other words, that's when you found out that she wasn't his ex-wife at all. They were still married.
Pretty much. I went on the internet and looked at the divorce records website, and I didn't see his name on there. I saw my name on there, and everybody else who I know is divorced, but
right.
I didn't see his name on
not
there.
Not him. So he was still together.
When I confronted him, he was pretty much like, well, yeah.
Wow. He just gave it up right away.
Yeah. He just said, oh,
you didn't
well,
have
yeah.
to waterboard like, him or anything.
No, and I asked him, well, when were you going to tell me? And his response was, well, I was hoping that I didn't have to.
I wonder what he thought the result was going to be, like, eventually. Or did he just think it was going to work forever?
Apparently not. I guess he figured he was going to be whatever to me, and then eventually I get bored of it and break up with him.
Oh, I see. Okay. He was going to make you do the dirty work.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you very much for the call. All right, so we've had the lying, cheating, two-faced guys. Let's go the other direction now. Let's bring Roger into the mix here. He's on line four. Roger, this happened to you. You were dating a girl that you found out was married.
Hello?
Hi there.
Oh, how you doing? Hey, yeah, it was actually happened to me twice. I was dating a girl for 6 months. Was taking some weird business trips. I didn't think anything of it just because she was like a beginning entrepreneur. So anyways, finally one day we went out to dinner and she left her wedding ring on. Asked her about it. She just like, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want this to happen. And then
you found out because she had her wedding ring on?
Yeah, it was kind of odd. She never wore jewelry around me, just earrings and necklaces. But she had a pretty big rock on her left hand. And asked her, so is that a wedding ring? She's like, she had that oh crap look on her face.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
and she was yeah.
So yes, that's
but
a wedding.
Since you are a guy, you did the right thing and continued to nail her, right?
I wish I did, but I didn't.
This happened to him twice. Wow.
But the second one, this girl was already married for 6 months, 6 years. I mean, I didn't know. I was dating her for two years, and
you dated her for 2 years, and she'd been married for 6 years before she dated you?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't know. The relationship was normal. I'd spend the weekend over at her house. She'd spend the weekend at my house. We'd go out for dinners, movies, things like that. Then about 2 years into it, I was like, hey, why don't we go get married? She looked at me, real puppy dog face, like, I'm sorry, I got something to tell you. All right.
Where was her husband when you guys were doing this weekend swapping thing? Where was her husband?
He was a CEO of a small company, so he'd be on long business trips, be gone for weeks on end, and apparently the weekends that I would spend the weekend was the weekends that he was gone.
And whenever we would go on,
we go on movie dates and dinner dates, he'd be at the office late or anything like that, and
she's good at it. But if it happened to you twice, I mean, really, that's on you. But I don't how you go over to a woman's house and you can't tell that there's another man living there. I don't know how that happens.
The guy must be doing pretty good because it was a pretty big house. It was like a 4 or 5 bedroom house. She had a decent job too, so I didn't think much of it.
Right.
And after we were done,
or anything that made you think?
Well, no. I don't know what's going on. They must have had a really weird relationship. No photos. Nothing out of the ordinary. It was weird to walk into the house. There was nothing.
Keep nailing her?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the best part about this one was after I was like, what the hell? Why didn't you tell me in the first place? She's like, well, because you're really fun to be around and you're hung. Instant ego boost. So I kept her. So she kept me around for a little bit longer. I didn't mind. She was fun. She was good looking.
Good times. All right. Well, look, we're out of time on this. Thank you very much for the call, Roger. But Rob and Denise and Sarah and Christine and Alex and Maria, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So what's the advice here? Just wake up.
Wake up. Children, stop spraying bullets on each other.
Let's talk about Coachella for just a minute as we have more tickets that you can win. 3-day passes all week on K-Rock, 5 times a day, including at 9 a.m. That's about 20 minutes from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Unbelievable lineup again this year. The first of two weekends. Both weekends are the same acts, but you got the Black Keys. You got the Reunited Pulp. You got the Reunited Refuse, which is going to be incredible, Kevin. You ought to see them if you get the opportunity to.
I will make a
note. You got Radiohead, Bon Iver, The Shins, Noel Gallagher, Kasabian, Mike Snow, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg are playing on Sunday, along with At the Drive-In, Justice, Florence and the Machine, Beirut, Weekend, Girl Talk. I mean, it's unbelievable. Whatever kind of music you like, bar country, you're going to find it at the Coachella Music and Arts in Valley, or whatever they call that thing.
Well said. I usually have a full list of bands and people that I want to check out. And then somehow when I come back on Monday, I go, what happened to any of that? How come I didn't see any of it?
Because you wander around and there's a bunch of things going on at one time and you plan to go over here, but then your ear catches something over there that sounds awesome and you end up finding a new act that you love. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about this show and the reason why it sells out every year. And by the way, KRock.com is going to be a destination for you this weekend if you're not at Coachella, because the KRock Coachella house is going to be up and running. We're going to be broadcasting from there all weekend long with tons of guests. M83 is stopping by, the Arctic Monkeys, Band of Skulls, the Black Keys, the Hives, the Shins. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and it's going to all be happening at KRock.com, and of course, we'll be broadcasting from there on KRock Radio as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be there Friday morning, and then I'm going to be there Monday morning after the show. And Monday, I should not be counted on for anything. I just want to put that out there right at the beginning. If you're going out, I don't know if you've ever been before, but if you've not been out there, it is shocking how hot it can get during the day.
It's the desert.
Yes. But then, you know, it's really hot, but then when the sun goes down, things change drastically. So
yeah, what is the deal with that, by the way? I don't know enough about science to understand. How can it be a million during the day and 500,000 below at night? Like, how does that even work?
I don't know.
Why doesn't some of the heat stick around just by virtue of the fact that it's so hot?
It's science.
It's science. All right. Well, that's all I need to know.
But just prepare for it. That's all we're saying.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, Chapter 14, Temperature. During the day, temperatures at Coachella can reach those similar to that of the surface of the sun. You'll be tempted to strip off all of your clothing, and even then, may consider finding a way to remove your skin. The very last thing you'll be thinking about is a jacket. However, once the sun goes down, evening temperatures can plummet to anywhere from freezing to the approximate temperature of liquid nitrogen. So bring a jacket or a sweatshirt, or your friends may find you later as a blue-lipped corpse in the parking lot. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival, and as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
I don't think that's a very good slogan.
Everything you need to know about this year's Coachella can be found at KROQ.com. And if you want to go in person, you can win your tickets in about 20 minutes or less from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ.
How do you think that needs to be added to every song we play?
Not everything is MP3, Ralph.
That's got to come back.
No, it doesn't have to come back.
We need that sound back in popular music. Boo, 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 boo. We need that. Boo,
boo, boo. I'm going to say no. Boo. I'm going to go with no on that one.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. I'm not sure why at this point, but Jack Johnson's going to be joining us in studio coming up in a couple of minutes. Going to be performing live. Going to be catching us up with where he's been, what he's been up to. You talk to Mr. Johnson? You meet him out in the hall there, Ralph? How's he doing?
No, I was in the other room working, so I haven't had a chance.
You don't call him Mr. Johnson. He's Jack.
He seems happy. He seems well-rested. He seems well-adjusted.
Love that dude.
All things are copacetic. So
remember, we had breakfast with him at Coachella, and that truck kept backing up the whole time, and they were cleaning up on Monday morning. It was afterwards.
Yep.
And he was trying to play live, and it was going beep, beep.
He was going boom,
beep. I wish it was doing that.
That would have been better. Remember breakfast with Jack Johnson up at the Sagebrush Cantina? Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yes, that's right.
That was a good time.
Yep. Good times.
He draws an attractive female crowd.
He certainly does.
That is one of his strengths.
I looked out there that morning. I was like, look at that sea of pulchritude.
I don't know what that
means. Look it up, boys. Look it up.
I'm sure it involves hotties, though.
It does.
It's Latin for vagina. All right, Rob is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Every year, Alec Baldwin seems to threaten to quit acting. He wants to get out of television. He's leaving 30 Rock so far. Every season, that's been an empty threat. However, looks like he may be serious now. Largely because of NBC's actions regarding their Today show. He has been tweeting furiously this morning.
About what?
That the television crew from the Today show has been camped outside his Greenwich Village home in an attempt to get an interview regarding this woman who's been stalking him and was arrested.
Oh.
Outside my apartment today, along with the other stalkers from the tabloid press, a crew that identified themselves as being with the Today show. I haven't appeared on the Today show in many years, but did they have to camp outside my apartment? He tweeted this morning. Outside my apartment, journalists from the Post camped out to talk to me about stalking. They camped out all day. Wait, isn't that ... he writes.
You know, I think he makes a point in that it's not like he's running from the news crews because he's been accused of some sort of impropriety or crime or anything like that.
He's the victim.
He's the victim here. Give him some respect. You think NBC would go, yeah, we're not going to annoy Alec Baldwin, one of the stars of our network.
His most recent tweet, I think I'm leaving NBC just in time, he writes. So take that for what it's worth. But that show would be greatly diminished without Alec.
Oh,
Baldwin.
My God. I can't even imagine. He's so good on that. Brilliant on that
he
show.
He truly, truly is. What a funny, funny show that is. Hunger Games in the news. A lot of debate, a lot of questions going on with the sequel to Hunger Games, which is a foregone conclusion, giving its wild success at the box office. Gary Ross, the director of the film, has issued a statement saying that he's decided not to direct the second film in the series.
Here's his quote. As a writer and a director, I simply don't have the time I need to write and prep the movie I would have wanted to make because of the fixed and tight production schedule. I mentioned earlier in the week that Jennifer Lawrence is already locked in to reprise her role as Mystique in the next X-Men First Class movie. And because of that, they're having to rush Hunger Games 2 into production to try to get it done before she has to go and make that movie.
Apparently, that seems like a
not
bad
enough
idea.
Time for Gary Ross to get things set in his own mind.
Doesn't that seem like a bad idea on
I
every
always
level?
Think it's a bad idea to have to rush to get your way through a film. However, the show business is littered with success stories of people who are under the gun making movies, either budgetarily or for production schedule-wise, and they've come up with great
brilliant
works of art.
Yeah.
So you never know, but it doesn't seem... Especially a film of that scale, doesn't seem like it's a great idea to have to rush through it. Woody Harrelson is going to be working on a TV series. Here's the surprise part. His co-star, Matthew McConaughey.
Wow.
A TV series with those two guys.
A lot of weed on that set.
I'm intrigued.
Now, they've worked together on such movies as Ed TV and Surfer Dude. There was a movie called Surfer Dude.
Was there?
If there was, these two guys would be perfect to be in it, that's for sure. They will play a couple of detectives reopening a bizarre murder case from 1995 in the current day.
You got any weed?
That's the premise. No word yet on what network or cable outlet will be carrying the show, but two of them want to work together, and looks like they're going to do a TV series.
How was Matthew McConaughey when you worked with him, Ralph?
What a sweetheart of a guy. I'll tell you, I had a great experience with him.
He was super talented actor, I think, too.
Super friendly. Just a great guy to be around. Really, really warm and sort of inviting on the set to ideas and things. Really likes the process. He likes to work. And I'll tell you something. He's built, that kid.
Yeah.
He is built. I remember when I rap, they have this thing. They say, okay, that's everybody that's a rap for. And they'll say, you know, Ralph Garman, whatever performer is shooting their last scene of the day. And he came up and gave me a big hug. And I put my arms out. I was like, damn, this guy's like granite.
Did you hang on too long?
He's like rock. He's rock hard. I just want to hold on a little bit just to feel his body pressed against mine. Like a statue. It was like rock hard. Of course, he did a lot of lifting, a lot of push-ups on the course of that show because he had to be shirtless a lot, as he is wont to be
sure.
in a lot of
yes.
his films.
Yes. I would he doesn't take too. A role if he has to wear a shirt, right?
Yeah. But, boy, I was impressed by the firmness of his body. He's firm. He's a firm, firm man.
Okay, take it easy.
Very firm. I don't know if I've mentioned how firm he is. I'm a little firm as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about half firm.
Is that as good as it gets these days?
No.
Okay, all right.
I can get full firm.
Just check it.
I rock the full firm.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jennifer Esposito from Blue Bloods. She is 39 years old today. Actress Tricia Helfer turns 38. Alexandra Ambrosio is 31 years old.
Yes.
Joss Stone, singer and actress, is 25 years old. And Marcy Playground. Wait a minute, she's not a person. Bassist for Marcy Playground, Dylan Keefe, is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It seems to me that maybe Horizon has been defeated. Where do the good people go? Time doesn't heal. No, not at all. Well, I was sitting, waiting, wishing upside down. Simple as something that nobody knows. Her eyes are as big as a bubble of toes.
Seriously, I want a palm tree, a chair, a margarita. Let's make this happen. Jack Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, his triumphant return to the world-famous K-Rock here on the Kevin Amin Show. Jack, we missed you. How are you?
I'm great. Well, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I just flew over from Hawaii for 2 days. Kind of lost my voice a little bit, but I'm happy to be here.
How do you lose your voice? You've never spoken above a whisper in your life.
I got 3 kids now. They bring home all kinds of stuff from elementary
school. Oh, there you go.
No, yeah. That, pass it around to the whole family?
Yeah.
Yep.
You're in Hawaii full time?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a place stateside at all?
No, not really. I just spend all the time. You know, unless we're touring, we're there.
It really seems to me like you getting on a plane in Hawaii goes against everything in you. You know what I mean? Like, you seem like you love it there so much.
Like you hate to have to leave. Yeah. Plus, the mean airlines make you put on shoes to fly, right?
No, not really. I got slippers on. It's nice, too, because sometimes they'll look down and when you're at the line where they make you take off all your stuff and put your computers there. And they look down sometimes and say, you don't need to take those off. And I can walk in with these on. Yeah, it's nice.
That's nice. How long have you been living out there in Hawaii now?
You know who does, though? Sorry to cut you off, but I was thinking of Michael Franti from Spearhead.
Right.
Uh-huh. He goes barefoot all the time. The only time he puts on shoes is for airports.
Really?
Well, no kidding.
Yeah, a few years back when I talked to him, because he just said he didn't like it, hassle, so he just threw on the shoes for the airport.
That's so weird. That, he put them on so that then they would make him take them off and then put them back on.
Yeah. How long have you been living in Hawaii now, Jack?
Well, I was born and raised there, and then I left to go to college in Santa Barbara.
Right.
And I was there for a while, lived there, and kind of started up the music thing when I was living in Santa Barbara. I started playing little shows after college between San Diego and San Francisco. I used to play the Mint here in L.A.
Sure. Sure. So the islands have always been your home, and you figure you'll just live there forever. You don't get any kind of island fever that some people talk about, you know, where it's relatively a small town when you're living there.
Yeah, I hear that term. I just don't know what it means.
Really? You're the opposite.
Yeah.
What about this in all seriousness? And maybe you escaped this either due to celebrity or being a native Hawaiian. But what about this? We hear from so many other Americans that move to the islands. They go, wow, they sure don't like white people down here. Do you ever run into any problems with something like that?
I don't know. I better ask the guys in the other room.
Never heard that.
You guys like me? Okay.
Yeah. No,
I'm pretty tan.
You're not a white guy, though.
No, you know, it's... Hawaii is an interesting place. A lot of cultures come together. Going to school is a whole different thing there. In the public schools, there's all different ethnicities, different cultures. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting place. It's kind of helped me a lot for traveling the world, I find. It's been a great place to grow up.
I would think if you live there, the tourism part of it would not help. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Meaning it would be inconvenient? It would drive you crazy?
Yeah, it's just there's too much. It seems like that's where everybody wants to go is Hawaii, and then there's a bunch of tourists that are always there.
Yeah, you're opening a can of worms because it provides a lot of jobs. There's a lot of arguments why tourism's good. But at the same time, there's a lot of development in Hawaii. They're trying to build a lot of hotels, and it's kind of an ongoing thing of, well, we got to save some land for agriculture, for growing food for ourselves, and... So be careful not to open that one with me because we'll start talking for days. It's part of what our foundation does over there. The Kukua Hawaii Foundation is trying to get kids to ask that question of where does my food come from, because 80% of our food is shipped into Hawaii.
Wow.
And so, you know, we could grow everything there. And so we try to work with the kids, get school gardens established so that they start asking those bigger questions down the line.
Jack, did you see, believe me, I'm not changing the subject here. This is going to come back around to the Kukua Foundation. But did you see the Descendants film?
Yeah, I did.
Are there, and I know that that's not a true story, but are there lots of places that are the world's most desirable land right up against the water that are in danger of being sold and built up? And is that a constant fight in the islands to figure out a way to not take, you know, to not use that land and just let it stay the way it is?
Yeah, that's true. There's quite a bit. There's a spot called Cavella Bay near my house that they want to build a couple of hotels.
You should just buy them.
Well, that's not for sale.
Okay. The Kukua Festival, and that's what the Jack Johnson and Friends album that's coming out, and video too, it's to benefit you have this Kukua Festival to benefit the foundation every year, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's called the Kukua Festival. The foundation is the Kukua Hawaii Foundation, and we've had it 6 different years. It started in 2004. I think we took 1 year off in the middle there somewhere, and it's had all kinds of great people. I had a lot of local musicians, like my friends that are going to play with me in the other room over here.
Tell us about them.
That's Paula Fuga and John Cruz, both really well-known musicians in Hawaii. And, so they're on the album doing a few songs.
Who else is on the album? I saw a lot of stars, too, your friends.
Unbelievable, the guest stars you had for this festival over the
years. Yeah, when we added it all up, it was pretty fun to look at the lineup. And we got Willie Nelson and Jackson Brown, Ben Harper, Eddie Vedder, Dave Matthews, Ziggy Marley, Damian Marley, Taj Mahal.
Wow, probably unbelievable. Now, would you, I'm not asking you to humble brag here or anything, but would you consider these guys your friends as well, or people that you just see for a few minutes on stage?
A lot of them good friends.
How about Willie? You hang out with Willie Nelson?
Willie, I've gotten to hang with him a few times, and I'd like to call it a friendship. Hopefully he does.
Yeah.
To me, he's one of the coolest people on the planet.
Yeah,
I would never run out of questions for Willie Nelson because he's had the most extraordinary life, and he's one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
That's right. I'll never feel completely comfortable just calling him a friend and not a hero, because he's one of those, I think for all of us, any musician, you know, he's one of the people you put up there. And so just getting to, actually, like my favorite times of Willie have been sitting around with nobody watching, where we just get to have conversations and hang out, and even, you know, just strumming the guitar backstage, learning what we're going to play up on the stage are my favorite parts.
Kind of working it out.
Yeah, Ben Harper and me and Willie did a song, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, a very famous song he's done.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun just to sit around. My favorite parts are just working it out, really.
Now, how does – this is a serious question, too. When Willie comes to the islands for your festival or vacation or whatever, how does he bring all of his weed in? Or does he just have to buy new when he gets to the islands?
That's an easy answer. He well, he actually lives over there.
Okay. So he grows his own, probably.
He lives on Maui, so yeah, it's not an issue.
What do you think of Eddie Vedder's ukulele playing, which he seems to have been taking very seriously in recent years?
I love it.
I think he's tremendous.
Yeah, yeah. He's you know, it's something I know he's done for a long time because he gave me – this little home recording years and years ago when we first started hanging out, probably back in like 2000 or something, he gave me this little 5-song EP with all 5 of those songs ended up on the album he put out. But yeah, so I know he's been doing it for a long time. I love it. I always
kind of
encourage him to do something more with it.
Jack, do you speak the Hawaiian language as well?
No, I know a lot of different words and different things from growing up, but it's kind of one of those things where it's coming back, which is really nice. There's a few schools that are immersion schools now, but it was a language that was slowly disappearing, and so it's really nice that it's coming back in a strong way. But
immersion,
you know,
I'm sorry, just to interrupt, but immersion is that's all they speak?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. They might have an English class, but everything else is spoken in Alelo Hawaiian.
Sure, a lot of vowels in that language, dude.
Yeah, you know what our our state fish in Hawaii is the humu humu nuku nuku apua'a.
Come on, that's just a joke.
No, it's a real thing. Aloha kakahiaka, that would be good morning. I got all kinds of terms. I go to a little school, it's really sweet, actually. It's like half-half with my my youngest daughter, my daughter, and it's really nice because they bring a lot of Hawaiian language in, so we count in Hawaii, and we sing little Hawaiian songs in the morning, and it's really nice because when I was a kid, actually, there was nothing like that. It was kind
of. Is that
right? Yeah, so it's really nice to see how much is coming back and how much more my kids already know than I did at that age.
You know, it's really interesting how we go through phases like that with what we think is cool to teach the kids because, I mean, as hard as it is to believe now in multicultural Los Angeles, it wasn't that long ago where, you know, Mexican immigrants to the United States were encouraged to not speak Spanish and not even teach their kids Spanish at home, for instance. No, you've got to only speak English. And it took a long time for it to kind of swing the other way. And now everybody realizes it's such a phenomenal resource to be able to speak more than one language. But for a while, it wasn't. Yeah. It sounds like maybe the same thing was happening in Hawaii where they said, no, don't speak Hawaiian. And now it's back again.
Yeah, real similar. You know, a lot of things throughout history in Hawaii, even the hula was outlawed for a long time.
Outlawed?
Yeah,
really?
It was gone. It got brought back, and it was a really big thing when it came back because it, you know, brought back a lot of the culture and the stories, and so it's great to see it coming back stronger.
This is the voice of Jack Johnson. We're going to let him go in the other room in a minute, and he and his friends are going to be performing live for us. When you live in Hawaii, where do you go on vacation?
Las Vegas. Not me so much, but it's pretty funny. That's the number one tourist destination for people from Hawaii.
Is that right, Las Vegas?
Yeah, it's just completely different. You know, get off.
It's the opposite of Hawaii.
Because sometimes you just want noise and traffic and smog and smoking and all the stuff you can't get in Hawaii, right?
Exactly. When I go on tour, that's really my vacation. I take the family with me everywhere. And so we get to go, you know, all kinds of places. Pretty fun. Get to go to Europe and South America and across the states.
Beautiful. The Best of the Kakua Festival, Jack Johnson and Friends, is going to be available everywhere on Tuesday, April the 17th. And so do we have here? We got 13 songs, and that's going to be available as an album you can buy in the stores or download. And there's also a video version. Is that true, Jack, or no?
Is there a video?
Is there a DVD as well?
There's not a DVD. No, I think on the website. What's the website you can go to? Yeah, Kakua Festival. If you go to that website or my website, you can watch most of the videos there. But I think just the albums for sale.
You spell Kakua KOKUA.
KOKUA. Right. That's right.
Great, great guest stars, including some wonderful Hawaiian musicians, along with, as you mentioned, Ziggy Marley and Eddie Vedder and Dave Matthews and Ben Harper, Willie Nelson. Oh, so fun. And Zach Gill, who, by the way, I have really become a fan of thanks to you guys putting him out on your label. He's tremendous as well.
You said you were losing your voice. Can you do a song for us?
I'm going to do a song. I'm going to do my best. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. Can't wait. Jack Johnson is here. We'll return and he'll perform for us live on the Kevin and Bean Show next.
Is this how it's supposed to be?
I think if Jack got more laid back, he would die. You get that idea?
Yeah, right.
I think. Oh, I'm sorry. You can hear me? I think Jack is pacing himself, and he's going to live to be 150 years old. That's what I think. We are very excited, as we always are, to welcome Jack Johnson to K-Rock. The Best of the Kakua Festival album is going to be available for download and in stores on April the 17th, which is Tuesday. It looks amazing. Jack is here today with two of his friends from Hawaii. John Cruz and Paula Fuga are going to be performing. What song are you guys going to do for us?
We're going to try this one's called Banana Pancakes.
All right.
Love to hear it.
Yeah, here we go.
hardly even notice when I try to show you. The song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep in. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend right now. We could pretend it all the time, but can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Just maybe like a ukulele. Mama made a baby, really don't mind the practice. You're my little lady, 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 love me. Love to lay you lazy. We could close some curtains, pretend like there's no world outside. We could pretend it all the time. Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain all day and I really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see? Wake up slow. The telephone saying you're ringing, it's too early, don't pick it up. We don't need to, we got everything we need right here, and everything we need is enough. Just so easy when the whole world fits inside of your arms. You really need to pay attention to the alarm. Wake up slow. Oh, oh. Wake up slow.
Take a look.
Hardly even notice when I try to show you. The song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Let's go make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend right now. We could pretend it all the time, but can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Rain all day and I really don't mind. Can't you see, can't you see?
Come on.
Yeah,
that couldn't have sounded any better.
Wow, that was amazing. Jack Johnson here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen, a lot of people are emailing saying they're surprised, A, and glad to hear you because they weren't expecting this. But what are the plans for 2012? Or any chance you'd be coming back to the mainland at all to perform, Jack?
No chance of that, but we're going to do a little tour in Hawaii with Paula and John and myself.
That's fantastic news for our listeners.
I like how you dismiss it immediately. No, no chance of that.
Well, there's always a chance, I guess. You know, always a chance.
So we'll just keep in touch on the website, I guess, and see where you're at. And eventually, at some point, you'll come back and see your fans over
there. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, at some point we will, for sure.
Fantastic. Yeah. The Best of the Kukua Festival, available everywhere on April the 17th. And thank you to you, and thanks to John and Paula. That sounded amazing. We really appreciate you guys stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Matthew Huss, by the way, from West Covina, won the Coachella tickets this hour. We got them for you again at noon, and then 3, and then 6, and then 9 tonight. If you want to win tickets for all 3 days of this weekend's Coachella and access to the K-Rock Coachella house, you just be listening at those times. Details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, how you doing?
We may need some of those listeners at the Coachella house to step in and do Kevin's part of the show on Monday.
I'm not going to run over by a golf cart.
Well, why even bother? You. Why just not take Monday off? Why are you bothering even broadcasting from there?
I'm perfectly willing to take Monday off.
We're perfectly willing to let you, because no good will come from that.
I saw Snoop Dogg.
Okay. Your absence will add more to the show than you will on Monday after a weekend of Coachella.
I am not arguing with you.
You miss a nap, and you come in, and it's like you've had a stroke. A weekend at Coachella is going to be like a major thrombosis.
I'm not going to be in good shape. I'm not arguing that.
Just saying.
I'm just saying. I'll take it off.
The CW, they have been ratings challenged this past season, so they are working on at least 8 new pilots to add to their fall lineup. You know, one of the more popular shows is The Vampire Diaries, which is nothing like Twilight, by the way. Just because it's young vampires in love and love triangles and dealing with the hardships of being a vampire falling in love with a regular human, it's nothing like Twilight. I will not stand for it. I will not hear it. All right? Do we have that settled?
Yes.
One of the new pilots being suggested by the CW as a possible series is called The Selection. The Selection, if I read the synopsis correctly, is about a young girl in a futuristic war-torn nation who was chosen by lottery to compete for fame and fortune against a backdrop of hunger and carnage.
Do they have to kill other kids?
Yeah, apparently that's the premise of The Selection.
In a game situation, would you say? They're hungry in a game situation?
It is a televised game situation featuring hunger.
Wow.
And games.
It's like nothing else
that's
out
right.
There.
That's goddamn right. It's nothing like anything else that's out there. And I want to hear it otherwise. You'll have me to reckon with, sir. God love the CW and their original thinking and their
You know what they should do is a singing competition.
No, that's just derivative and silly. CW also apparently working on a series about a woman who lives in a house and some eligible bachelors try to woo her for her attention and end up engaged to her.
Mm.
It's called The Single Gal Who Talks to Other Men.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Come on, CW. Do you think we're just idiots? Do you think we're morons?
Well, some of us are.
Yeah, well, I guess not all of us are. While we're talking about television, HBO has picked up Game of Thrones for yet a third season. No surprise there. After the second season debut of the program pulled in a record 3.9 million viewers.
That's huge.
You watch, Ralph?
I watched most of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Got some to catch up on, so I'm just backlogging. I'm putting everything aside until I get a chance to sit down and watch it.
That Peter Dinklage, man, earned every bit of that Emmy he won for that role. He is tremendous on that show.
He is a super talented actor. I enjoy him enormously, and I'm looking forward to catching up on Game of Thrones. I just hope nothing happens to Sean Bean. That's all I care about. He's one of my favorite characters. I'm just hoping nothing bad happens there. I just want to make sure that his character stays on the show because he is my fave.
No worries.
Okay. This past Sunday's episode nearly matched its debut episode, 3.8 million viewers. So huge numbers for Game of Thrones. No surprise there. They got it picked up. While we're talking about cable shows, anybody besides me catch Magic City on Starz this past Friday?
Taped it. Haven't seen it yet. Recorded it.
With Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Yes.
The star? Boy, am I enjoying that program.
Really? Good.
Yeah. I can't wait to see more episodes.
I was hoping that was good.
First three apparently are available on demand. Even on Facebook, you can see the first three. I guess they're hoping to hook people in and then have them stick around for the rest of the season. But I'm just a sucker for that sort of genre, that period. It's gangsters. It's late 50s. It's, you know, convertible Thunderbirds and big-ass Cadillacs with fins and suits and smoking and drinking and hot babes. Just a lot of naked hot babes in this show, by the way. If you're a fan of naked hot babes, you will enjoy Magic City. It's good stuff.
That's the magic?
That's the magic of Magic City. And this disturbs me.
What?
Friends apparently worried about Willow Smith.
Too much whipping her hair?
Yeah, apparently all that hair whipping has caused her to be depressed.
Oh.
She's been posting disturbing things online. Say the things who follow that kind of sort of stuff. Live fast and die young was one of her most recent postings. I have so much anger swelling up inside me, she also posted later, and I live in my own hell.
Wow. Ew.
Isn't she like 9?
I think she's 12 now, but
she's
still.
Already 12? I thought she was 9 when she was whipping her hair.
I thought she was 11 then and 12 now. I don't know, but she's too young to be having those kind of thoughts,
that's
for sure.
I live in my own hell. What? Did you lose your Hello Kitty lunchbox? What hell could you be living in? Or maybe it's the hell of your parents pushing you into show business too young, and now the pressure is getting to you.
That could be.
She did, you know, it was kind of a surprise when she essentially shaved her head and had that real close-cropped pink hair. That seemed like a little bit of acting out or something. You're right, Ralph. Apparently she is only 11 now. She's 11 now.
Wow. Still, I feel bad for this kid.
I do, too. Well, she's got no advantages. She's poor and can barely, you know, survive.
She is living on the streets.
So. Can't get food on the table.
She's got a reason. And no food on the table leads me to my next story, which also disturbs me. Anne Hathaway has been tapped to play Fantine in the big-budget, big-screen version of Les Miserables, the Broadway musical. Producers and the director of that film have asked her to drop almost 20 pounds to play the role. Anne Hathaway
is...
That's the difference between life and death with her.
It really is. She can't handle that sort of weight loss. She's super rail thin to begin with.
Yeah.
That girl's fat.
Does she play a dancing skeleton in the... I'm not familiar with the Broadway show, but is there a dancing skeleton in it?
I don't...
Is there
I'm
a haunted familiar, house?
I'm not familiar with it either.
Does Fantine come out and... Ooh. Just saying.
She does.
This is for all the fat girls!
Currently eating 500 calories a day in order to get the weight off before the production starts.
Wow. See how they do that, Mugs?
See, Beer Mugs, see what they do? Some people cut back their caloric intake in order to try to shed weight. It's just, I know, it's one of those fad Hollywood diets, but
it'll pass.
It just might work.
How many chili rellenos is Anne Hathaway eating from Lucy's number two? Does it say
it
in there?
It says here, yeah. Actually, they go through her daily intake. None.
Zero. Oh,
none.
Interesting.
None of those. That would be none. And this is great news. Anything bad that befalls One Direction makes me smile. If you're not familiar with One Direction, they are the pop teen sensation out of the UK. A boy band put together by Simon Cowell.
I have a clip of their big number one hit, What Makes You Beautiful, if you want to hear some of that, Ralph.
Here's for people who aren't familiar with the band, here's a little taste of One Direction.
Holy Hitter Richard.
And how that got to be so popular.
Holy
Doesn't sound like something Simon Cowell would do.
That's, well, it's so catchy. You can see why all the young preteen girls are obsessed with this band. They came here to America with plans of invading and making slaves out of us.
Was that their plan?
Yes. But apparently their planes derailed by a little something called the law.
Really?
They came to the U.S. as One Direction. Turns out there's already a band called One Direction here, homegrown in these United States of ours.
I bet they're better than the British.
That's right. USA! 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 And they existed before the British One Direction. So they have slapped Simon Cowell's record label and Sony Music with a $1 million lawsuit, saying they cannot navigate itself into the U.S. jurisdiction without causing consumer confusion. You might say, oh, there won't be any confusion. They're mega stars, and this other One Direction, no one's heard of them. Then why did NBC's Today Show, while showing photos of the British One Direction, accidentally play music from the U.S. band's One Connection underneath the photos?
Funny.
Apparently, confusion. I say yes. I say guilty. And I say all five members of One Direction now must be murdered.
Well, I don't know that. That seems we extreme. Want to go that far, but
this is why they took me off the bench. This is why I can no longer be a judge.
You were never.
I was on the bench.
You may have been on the bench. You were never a judge.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me how a major label like the one Simon Cowell runs could make an amateur mistake like this to not thoroughly vet a name before you put it on a new band.
Doesn't seem like you'd have to thoroughly vet it at all. It seems like it'd be right first.
Especially if they're on
iTunes.
They're on iTunes.
Type in One Direction. See if anything pops up before you name your band One Direction.
It's a crazy. I mean, they're begging for themselves to be sued and have to pay out a big sum of money.
Yeah. Speaking of which, my band this weekend, please come and check it out. We are playing a gig. We're called The Monkees. So I hope you'll come out and check us out. But it's with two E's. It's two E's at the end. So we've spelled it differently. So it's
so
not
that
a problem.
No one will get confused.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joss Stone is 25 years old. Alessandra Ambrosio, supermodel extraordinaire, is 31. Yes. Trisha Helfer, Cylon extraordinaire from Battlestar Galactica, 38 years old. Jennifer Esposito from Blue Bloods is 39. A lot of babes.
Yeah.
And then Dylan Keefe, bassist from Marcy Playground. He is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow is Community Thursdays. We're going to talk to Yvette Nicole Brown.
Ah.
Yvette or Yvette? I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage. And we want to talk to you if somebody saved your life. Somebody literally saved your life. If it was not for them, you would be dead.
Like one of those things like, oh, I didn't have enough money to pay for my lunch. Thanks for that $5. You saved my life. Like that kind of saved
not,
my life?
That's what we don't want.
Oh, okay.
That's the opposite.
We're talking about like you're getting ready to step into traffic because you're texting and Ryan Gosling comes up behind you and pulls you off the curb so that you do not die. We're talking about that kind of saved your life.
I got you.
And we've got your tickets for Coachella as well. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.